Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. You're listening to episode number 58. I am your host, Adam, and here with me today, we've got Alex, Matt, Angel, Will, and Dave is going to be coming later. What's up, everybody?
So,
hi!
Yo.
So, obviously, today we're going to talk about E3, and I have a mission for you listeners. Tally up how many times we reference each of the three companies and see who wins. And then that way we'll know who wins E3.
Who won E3?
Pound a beer.
Whoever wins,
well, sure, sure. If you're over 21, take a shot, but we don't have any listeners who are over 21, so.
Yes, we do.
Us.
We have someone on Twitter that was like, who's following us, who probably listens to our podcast, and she has like a kid and a fiance and stuff, is like an actual adult.
Nice.
Wait, is that Laura?
No, it's not Laura. Somebody Step else.
Laura doesn't listen to the podcast. What are you talking about?
I like how that's what you're concerned about. It's not that Laura doesn't have a kid.
Yeah, Laura doesn't listen to the podcast. She's got several kids. All of them black. She steals them.
And midgets.
Black midgets.
Black midgets.
Or it's Adam's fault. Adam told me that you had five kids.
Yeah, that little guy from Bad Santa, and he's her son. Yeah, what, Vince Vaughn?
Wasn't he in a Santa movie?
Yes, Fred Claus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that big, big stupid guy from Fred Claus and Wedding Crashers is Laura's son, Vince Vaughn.
So where should we start, guys? Should we go in chronological order and start with Microsoft?
Sure.
Well, what was your favorite Hulk Hogan experience in E3?
What's that? Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, remember?
Yes.
He was there.
He was there. He was telling people how to wrestle, but not how to dance.
No.
Okay, so what did Microsoft show us? They showed us a lot of Kinect stuff.
Boo!
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, their conference consisted of them backhandedly saying, hey, buy a Kinect, buy a Kinect, buy buy a Kinect.
We got the Mass Effect 3 demo. I mean, that had some Kinect stuff in it, but the good part of the game was still
they started out with Modern Warfare 3, which is a very lengthy trailer.
Multi-platform as well as Mass Effect 3. Gears of War was really the only big exclusive announced
Was there a big thing about Mass Effect, or not Mass Effect, Gears of War 3?
Yeah, they had an on-stage demo.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that.
It looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like, I don't know what there is to be excited about.
Halo 4.
Oh, yeah, and then the Halo 4.
Yeah, that's
which is,
good.
Of course, not being made by Bungie, so who gives a shit?
I know.
Well, that could be a good thing, just to shake things up, get some new blood in it, but it's probably going to end terribly.
Well, I mean, I guess it could be a good thing if, like, I played Halo 4, the Master Chief story, but the reason why I play Halo is because Bungie is pretty good at making first-person shooters.
Yeah,
and,
I know. That's
they've
what I'm
been
saying.
A good
it's
developer.
Like it could be good, but it probably isn't.
Yeah. It doesn't get me excited knowing that somebody else is doing it. Maybe if they showed something like, oh, these guys know what they're doing, but they showed us a pre-rendered
cutscene. You didn't like the CGI trailer?
Oh, my God. That pre-rendered cutscene is just, you know, that's what really gets me excited to play a game is something that won't be in the game.
I watched
you must
IGN's
be really excited about the Wii U.
Not there yet.
Hey, I can make fun of it as much as I want.
Yeah, but those weren't pre-rendered, though.
I watched IGN's Rewind Theater on Halo 4, and they pointed out some pretty interesting stuff.
No, they didn't.
Like, there was snow on the ground, so they think it's, you know, years after Halo 3 ended, and the ship has obviously been damaged, and Master Chief is missing, like, parts of his armor. He suddenly
his
has
dick
like
plating.
He has a jetpack from out of nowhere. So
it's from out of reach retconning stuff.
But he never had it before.
No, the missing pieces of his armor went to construct a jetpack.
It's like R2-D2. Cortana he had the jetpack all the time. He just never used it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
Master
Chief can launch a lightsaber out of his jetpack too.
And thing at the end, I forget what they called it, but they said it was like some kind of Forerunner structure that was referenced in one of the Halo books.
Marathon.
And then, I don't know what it was, but I don't know. You know, I saw I thought I saw a halo like on the right side of the screen, but they didn't mention it, so maybe it was just part of the structure and it wasn't actually a halo.
I'm if you're not a Halo fan, you don't really care about that.
Yeah, honestly, well, you don't really
care. Even if you are a Halo fan, you'd be hard-pressed to say that you care about it.
Right, it's a new trilogy, so it's probably like completely unrelated to the Covenant and everything that happened in 1 through 3.
Yeah, I technically think this will be the sixth game.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we already finished the second trilogy. Fuck it.
Yeah, people are... I mean, the really excitable people for this, like the people who really care are the people who read all the books and like really follow the Halo story, which are all like 14-year-olds.
Guys, well,
I'm sure most of the people who play Halo are excited for this game.
That's because, not true.
Well, the majority of them aren't like intelligent gamers. They're just
oh my god,
steroids and bullets and blowing up stuff.
Yeah, yes. Only dumb people play Halo, you fucking retards. Just kidding. I say that all the time about people who play
point
Call
is,
of Duty.
My point is that a lot of the people who play Halo don't play it just because Bungie makes it. They play it because it's such a big and popular thing. And
I think that's most people who play most games.
What the fuck else has Bungie made? They made Oni.
No,
back in, like,
they
the
made
beginning
Myth.
Of PS2.
Myth and Marathon, which are both really good series.
Okay, they made Marathon like 15 years ago? How old is that game?
Yeah, and
a lot of years ago.
Yeah, Myth. I'm sorry, I didn't really like Marathon, but Myth is a really great RTS series.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, in the last decade, they've done nothing but Halo.
Right.
Anybody who knows Bungie.
Speaking of
recently,
which.
Okay.
They're remaking Halo Combat Evolved for the 360.
I need to look at those side by side pictures because I saw the trailer and I was not impressed.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, it's just the exact same engine underlying it, but yep. I also thought I read somewhere that they were using the Reach engine to do like assassinations and stuff. So I'm not
No.
The Reach
engine
is for the online.
The multiplayer is
Reach.
Is Reach. It's just maps for Halo Reach.
Right.
Really?
But I could have sworn I read something that said that they were adding in assassinations and stuff.
It's not.
Game.
It's what people guessed based on the trailer.
Oh,
but that's
okay.
Before we knew that it's not its own multiplayer. It's just co-op. It's basically just you can play Halo Combat Evolved co-op online.
That's even less impressive than the trailer made it look.
And then that's it. And then you also get the original Halo maps for playing on Halo Reach.
Okay.
I'll get it. I mean, it's gonna be cheap. They said it was a budget price title.
It's $40 still, though.
$40?
Holy shit!
$40.
That's not a budget price.
Yeah, I know. It's a ripoff.
I thought it was gonna be like a $20 Xbox Live Arcade game.
Oh
nope.
Geez, no.
Well,
no.
Fuck that.
Yeah. So
I'm excited. I'm excited for Death Island, which is a multiplayer map that they only had on the PC version. And
right, but they could just put that as DLC. Why
they could.
Maps can be DLC. I mean, we don't have to pay $40 for that.
Or for free.
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think this is,
Steam?
You don't get free maps.
Sorry, what were you saying, Alex?
I'm just sort of baffled how people are excited about maps.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just sort of...
Dora the Explorer is excited about maps all the time.
No, I mean, I'm excited about first-person shooter maps. It's a little bit... odd for me, so...
Well, I don't know. For me, I guess it's maybe a lot of nostalgia, but that Death Island specifically was a very, very large map, and I just had like various strategies that I would do, and they would always work, and it was just... It was a lot of fun.
Is that going to be worth $40?
Maybe.
Just because you want the map?
I know. I don't understand
$40
how...
$40 for a single map.
A single map is enough to make me buy a game... I mean, I already have fun playing Halo Reach. I'm not like, if they only had one more good map, this would be the best game, and I'd pay $1 million for it.
I mean, obviously, I'm not just going to play the online. I'm definitely going to do like the single player and co-op again. But I'm
more excited about that.
Well,
how much into development are they for the new Halo?
For Halo 4?
Halo 4?
Yeah,
probably not at all.
Probably, I would assume that Microsoft kept all of the. You know, assets and everything from Halo 3, Reach, all that stuff. So
yeah.
I would assume 343 doesn't have to do that much to hack together Halo 4.
What we do know is that they have been rendering a cutscene So they've gotten at least that far into development. They've made a pre-rendered cutscene.
Probably have a story.
How long ago did Microsoft get the rights to it?
Microsoft had the rights for it the entire time.
So what happened? Bungie just gave it up?
Bungie was a second party company like Rare.
They're just developing.
And they're gone.
Huh.
It's basically how Nintendo still owns the rights to Donkey Kong.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Nintendo and Rare is like Microsoft and Bungie were.
Yeah. Interesting.
And now Bungie's with Activision, which is great because Activision is the best publisher around.
So we're going to see Master Chief in the next Tony Hawk game, is what you're saying.
I would play that game.
No, they don't own the rights. We are going to see Banjo and Kazooie in the next Tony Hawk game.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
Well, good. So what else did they have?
They also talk about TV.
We got pretty excited about the Disney Connect game.
Star Wars Connect.
Oh, okay. God. Star Wars Connect, best game ever.
I remember
all of the Jedis from the movie doing
that. I don't know. I saw that video, and I was very let down. I was more excited seeing Ray Park in Disney Hollywood Studios this last weekend. I mean, the Star Wars Connect thing, you know, when people saw the Wii remote, the Move, I guess it didn't really come up with the Kinect, but, you know, you say, oh, you want a lightsaber game. And then finally somebody comes out with it, and it looks like ass.
Well, and it's on the Kinect where you can't move.
I know.
You have to, just, like, lunge forward to jump, and it looks...
I just don't understand. What the hell is LucasArts thinking with this?
They're not.
I don't know.
Well, they're seeing the dollar signs. I mean, I guess the Kinect is the most... Or it's higher selling as compared to the Move, but...
Wait. Well, have you ever seen the bottom of a Jedi's foot? Bam! There it is. Star Wars Kinect. Get it.
Out
Kudos
this November.
Sonoda told you to.
Pre-order
now. I mean, it looks
at GameStop.
I like the style of the game, but it doesn't look
it
good.
It looks like that Clone Wars shit.
I like that style, so.
It's okay.
So there seem to be some games that they're trying to implement the voice command stuff for.
Okay, all so what's going on with Mass Effect 3? Is it just squad commanding? Like, oh, Garrus,
yeah, which,
move
it's
up.
Hilarious to me that they're like, oh, look at what the Kinect can do. Yeah, I really need a 3D camera to shout commands at my squad.
You know, well, it's not like the only is, possible only the 360 the Kinect... came with a voice headset.
The thing is that the Kinect has all of the speech recognition software in it, so it's
right.
not the 360 that's doing it.
Yeah, but
it's
software
Kinect,
you can add on to your game.
It's, I know, it's so dumb. Why do you need
a 3D camera? I read the article, and it makes it seem like the fucking Kinect is the only thing that can possibly do.
When they already had that in SoCal.
Yeah, but like I'm saying, like also like 10 years you can also like at least have it for PC as well. You know. It's only 360 only.
I mean, look, I played Rainbow Six 3 on Xbox One, and you could still command your squad with that. So, you know, saying that, oh, only the Kinect can analyze Tali, you know, flank or whatever, that's just bullshit.
And it's not impressive because it's $150 to do that.
Exactly. Yeah, but you get Kinect Adventure. That is a bargain.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not paying my rent this month. I'm just buying a couple Kinects.
It just seems like, you know, talk about gimmicks. That seems so gimmicky.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
No, and Kinect I love how excited they were about it, too. Like, it's also with the Ghost Recon Kinect enabled shit, where, like, you can separate the gun by spreading your hand. That's so dumb. Or, like, the guy shooting is so good.
It's essentially Microsoft saying, we swear you didn't just waste $150.
Trust us.
Them saying that and then them showing, yes, you did waste $150. We're sorry.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
But it is selling well, right? The Kinect is selling well.
It sold well at the beginning. I don't know how its sustained numbers are.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything about that.
Of course, this is coming from a guy.
I guess if we haven't heard anything, it is selling. It's just not selling poorly or well. It's just kind of.
It sold incredibly well out the gate.
Well, that's because all the hackers wanted it.
I think.
Say that again?
I said it sold incredibly well out the gate, and I think it's petered off since then.
Ah,
yeah.
Yes.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird to me that that's all that they want to sell software for. I mean, I know they're trying to support it, but really, in terms of, I don't want to say hardcore gamers, but people who want to play games with controllers and don't want to spend a lot of extra money on Kinect, besides Gears of War 3 and the promise of Halo 4 eventually, I don't know what else they had at their conference to wow us.
They had... That's it. That's it. That's the sum total.
And Mass Effect 3, which is multi-platform.
Right.
Yeah, but I would still consider that best with Xbox,
it's primarily,
I guess, just because
Xbox.
You can play from it, you know, beginning through the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, the Mass Effect 2 on PS3 was a superior version, so...
Was it?
It was.
Yeah, I haven't used played the Mass Effect 3 engine.
Yeah, it has a better...
I've played it on PC and Xbox. I haven't played the PS3 version.
Yeah, I'd say probably the PC version is actually a superior version. But still, either way, it's pretty even in terms of, like, would you rather play this on PS3 or would you rather play this on Xbox?
I know. It's just a personal preference. But it is, yeah.
Really
it's a multi-platform.
Yeah, I mean, since it's going to be available... It's not like, oh, well, now I have to buy an Xbox. Or for people without Xboxes, I mean, they're still trying to sell Xboxes to people, not just Kinects.
Right. Yep.
So I guess one more thing about Microsoft. They also announced Kinect Fun Labs, and I downloaded it and played it for a little while today, and it's very disappointing.
What's
really?
Really?
So
you expected something really good out of that?
I yeah, well, more than what they gave me.
I'm more disappointed in you for expecting something out of that.
I need to look online and see if there's more to it than this, but originally I had thought that it was...
Let it go, Adam.
Basically
just let
like,
it go.
It was basically like a hub for indie-created Kinect content, and that may be what it is, but for right now it's all stuff by one... development company. I forget their name off the top of my head, but I think they have like 4 games out right now, and all of them are basically the exact same thing. So they showed this in the conference. You take a real life object, you scan it with the Kinect, you flip it over and scan the back, and then that basically becomes like a little 3D character that you can move around.
That's great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. So I mean, there are 4 games that basically all do that.
Wow.
That's incredible.
It's free, so if you have a Kinect, you might as well try it out and see if you like it better than me.
Does anybody here actually own a Kinect besides Adam?
Yes, Kyle does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he won one for free. He won an Xbox and a Kinect for free.
Oh, really?
His old job.
Nice.
Did anybody actually pay money for a Kinect besides Adam?
No, nobody's that stupid.
Well, Adam made that Pong game. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't showed that to these guys.
Oh, you know, well, there you go. Leaked information.
Oh, pre-E3. Oh, wait. No.
Oh, yep.
Oh, wait, no.
Behind closed doors information.
Yeah.
I wonder if Microsoft should have just held off with the Kinect, or, you know, they should have held off till the next console.
And instead of
advertising as a controller, just say, this is another control scheme for our interface, because we want to make a media hub, and we want you to be able to not have to use a controller. So basically, you swing your arms around to be able to change television channels and use the interface that right. way.
You're well, saying for the Xbox, they
I mean,
would do that,
look
or for
at
the
quality
next
of the stuff that you have out now. It's like if they were trying to make that as part of the core UI for games, it's not accurate enough to do anything of value.
Well, I'm not talking. But that's the thing. If they the way they're advertising it now for games seems like a terrible idea.
No, but I'm saying even if they waited 2 years and, you know, put the Kinect as part of the Xbox 720, you know, it's still, what are you going to do? You're going to have really inaccurate motion controls, or are you going to use the regular controller that comes with it?
I wouldn't even say use it. I would even say don't even use it as a controller. Don't advertise it as a controller. They've been trying to get this thing as a media hub, right? They've been trying to advertise the system as something that you can use as your major entertainment center.
Right.
Were you talking about
yeah.
the Kinect
no,
or the
sorry,
Xbox
just
in
quickly,
general as a platform?
Another announcement they made is that they're going to have deals with cable companies so that you're going to be able to watch live TV from your Xbox.
Yeah. Live TV on your TV with Xbox.
I think I've been trying to say that for like 20 minutes.
Who doesn't have a cable box, though? I mean, this seems like a really small demographic to go after.
Maybe.
Are they going to let you DVR to your hard drive?
Yeah, I think so.
That would be cool.
Really? See, my hard drive's almost full just with game installs and DLC and
stuff. Yeah, I think I read something about DVR and stuff when they were showing the presentation.
You only have to spend $600 for a 20 gigabyte hard drive or whatever.
$599 US.
Yeah, it's really stupid. I mean, Microsoft's conference was just... I mean, we're all... besides Alex, we all play games on the 360. Mm-hmm. It's not like we went into this looking to hate... I mean, we don't go into this with any biases, I hope.
If they have something cool, they have something cool.
Right, and they didn't have anything cool.
It just doesn't sound like they didn't have
Besides Gears of War 3, which we already knew about. Like, that was cool, but it wasn't, like, a surprise. We already knew that it was going to be good.
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of what we were saying during the
And we've already played it.
Think about this. Gears of War 3 was supposed to be out in, what, April? Of this year? Like, originally.
Was it?
Yeah, it got pushed back. It was supposed to be out in, like, April of this year. So, if you think about it, that got pushed back. What was Microsoft going to do for E3 if Gears of War had actually come out on schedule? They had nothing.
Yeah.
They had one delayed game.
And two games that aren't exclusives. Yeah. And a pre-rendered trailer for a game that they just announced.
I mean, the Microsoft show was the weakest of all of them.
Microsoft's show was the weakest one in recent memory.
Wii music.
That was pretty bad.
I mean, let's be fair here. It was bad. It wasn't Wii music bad.
Yeah, but that conference also had other announcements besides Wii music. Yeah. Although that Fable horse riding game was pretty terrible, and all the Kinect family actors were really terrible.
Oh God, those kids were so excited! Holy crap!
You know, if a company comes up with an idea, no matter how bad it is, I give them credit for making an idea. So, Wii Music might be a bad idea, but at least it's some sort of idea that they're going for. There's some level of thought and logic to it. This just seems like they ran out of ideas. There just was nothing for them to do. So, in some ways, I would even say it's... If you want to go by how bad it was compared to any other E3... There was just nothing there, right?
Right. It was just really.
It was just a lot of non-event.
Stuff. Like it could have not happened, and I wouldn't have been any worse off.
You guys wasted an hour of your life. How long was it?
Like an hour and a half.
You guys wasted an hour and a half of your lives watching this.
Yeah, bored as shit. Because like even the games they showed that we were excited for, or some of us were boring segments. Like for Modern Warfare 3. They literally show the beginning 10 minutes. It's so fucking boring. Tomb Raider was fucking boring as hell.
Oh, I forgot about that piece of shit. That game.
Oh, I want Tomb Raider.
I mean, it looks nice, but like,
I want to bang her. But
yeah, I want to jerk off to Tomb Raider in the future. But
and then let's see how abused she gets during the entire.
If she doesn't
game.
Well, die at the end of the game, so basically, so mad.
Basically, the thesis of that whole trailer was sex.
Yeah, it was really some weird.
I mean, is this going to be a game or just a sex simulator? We don't know.
Both. With Kinect.
Oh my God.
You could say sweet nothings to her ears,
and then she'll say them to herself,
and then she'll respond back
in moans.
I have to get out of here.
Oh! I love you. I love you.
So yeah. Dave is here. Hi, Dave.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey.
Hi, Dave.
So
we're just about to move on to the Sony conference.
Yeah, we're about done with Microsoft.
Do you
have anything
quick
to say
about the Microsoft conference before, I guess?
I pretty much didn't really enjoy any of the conferences. Microsoft conference was pretty poor with the Kinect and everything like that. It was too much Kinect stuff, so.
Well, there you go. That's a podcast.
You're
that's
very...
how did you feel about the Fable horse riding rail shooter?
I thought it looked really, really stupid. But
wrong. It's innovative. Right? It's wrong. Amazing. Milo is there.
Wait. What did you think about the Mass Effect 3 Jeep turret shooting on rails segment?
I didn't. Did they show off Mass Effect 3 in terms of Jeep?
No, that was during EA.
Was it?
Oh, whatever. Yeah. That was Battlefield 3, right?
The Battle for Earth.
Yeah.
No, there was a Mass Effect 3 rail shooting part, but I think that was during EA's conference.
Yeah, I didn't see that. But,
well, fuck you. Okay.
So let's move to Sony. Yes, we should have been recording this, but yesterday Dave, Angel, Alex, and I were talking about just, you know, what we had seen, and Alex and Dave got in a very heated discussion about the Vita and
to be fair,
other
and
things.
I should probably tell Dave this, the only reason I got into an argument and I told the other guys already is because I wanted to piss somebody off.
It's all right.
So
it's all right.
It had absolutely nothing to do with the argument. I was just pissed off for the past 3 weeks.
He was just having a bad day.
Someone. I've been having a bad couple weeks because I want to fucking yell at coworkers. And, you know, it's easiest to yell at somebody I don't see at all.
All right,
I don't get in trouble.
Let's start off by saying that the NGP is now officially called the PlayStation Vita. And
Vita,
what do you guys think
Vita?
About that? Vita.
I think
Vita.
That's the way they've been pronouncing it, at least.
Yeah.
Vita, as in life.
I'm probably just going to call it the PSV. I think that works.
Yeah,
that's clever.
Yeah,
works.
It works out.
Well, let's not start at the PSP Vita, though.
Okay,
at the beginning of the conference, they apologized for the network outage.
Right.
Which is okay. Yeah.
There was no Kevin Butler. I was disappointed in that.
Then they went into Uncharted 3, which looks great.
Looks amazing.
Not a surprise, though. It was
no,
but
still looks amazing.
Yeah, looks great. What did they do after that?
Nothing.
Were there any PS3
they
games?
Went on,
it was
went
kind
on,
of disappointing for like actual games I'm gonna play on my
PS3. Yeah, I mean
they showed
the like the 3D trailer first, then they went apologized for PSN, showed Uncharted, and then I think they went straight to Move.
Here's a really good question. Why did they have to show anything for Infamous 2 when the game came out the next day?
Yeah,
I don't know. That was dumb.
I'm not sure. I asked
because
that.
There was nothing else. I mean, it's the running theme here.
I mean, it gets, you know, investors to see it in case they hadn't already. It gets people, you know, reminds people, oh, hey, this really good game's coming out. Buy it.
Yeah,
it's free. It's literally free advertising for them, right? How many people are watching this?
Yeah, that's basically what it was. It was free advertising,
right?
Yeah, that was Infamous.
Which and honestly, it's smart. It's a smart move on their part.
So. Yeah, I mean, you know, take up like 1 minute to advertise this like AAA title.
The Sly Cooper trailer, which was pre-rendered. I mean, I really wish with some of these announcements. Like, the Halo one, too, they would have had, like, even a tiny bit of gameplay or something in-engine. Something other than, we're thinking about working on this game eventually.
Even with Halo, yeah. Halo 3, though, I mean, that big original trailer, that was pre-rendered, too. You know, the original Halo 3 trailer. So I think it's a running theme with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't even understand why people bother to pre-render trailers.
Yeah, though. I mean, the in-game stuff looks just as good nowadays. So.
I know.
How about the Old Republic, Matt? Did you like that one?
Oh, I loved it. I loved how they cut together clips from the two trailers we've already seen.
It wasn't even innovative. Like a full CG trailer. It was just the old ones recycled.
And a couple new stuff.
Yeah, like God. 5 seconds.
But that wasn't during Sony. So Sony basically
They showed Resistance 3.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which looks great. It looks really cool.
That was actually, like, a pretty short gameplay demo.
I know.
Like,
yeah.
They only played, like, maybe 2 minutes of those two levels or something.
And it was, like, a lot of action, thank God.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like Resistance, but I really have no interest in that series at all.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not a big fan of Resistance either.
About it when I was first seeing some PS3 stuff, and then I put it off getting it, and I finally got it when Circuit City went under for like, you know, $10 or something. And I played it halfway through and I was like, yep, done with this. And
yeah,
I haven't paid as attention to Resistance 3. It's just as generic a shooter as you can get.
Yeah, but it's
more generic.
It has
than
great
the
weapons. I mean, it's from
what about the Conduit?
It's more
generic than the Conduits. The Conduit.
The Condiments?
Yeah, the Condiments.
More generic than ketchup and mustard.
It's from Insomniac.
But at least I can actually play Resistance without having to wave my hand around in the air like a jackass.
It's from Insomniac, who makes the Ratchet and Clank games, which are fantastic. And I think they've learned more about making first-person shooters since Resistance 1.
It's unfortunate, a solid game. It's not bad. It's just there's nothing that stands out about it.
Pretty boring, but I think... I mean, this one looks a lot better and smoother and more exciting, I think. And the weapons are always... Even in the first game, the weapons were pretty creative. I think it looks good.
Yeah,
it's not like a day one gotta buy this game, but it was good enough. I mean, they needed more games like that on stage. So
it's definitely a solid release. I mean, I can understand why they would put it up there. I'm just saying, there's if you have a 360 or a PC or something, there're better options. But if you have the PS3, there might be better options.
It's different enough that you could be like, okay, well, you can only play this game on PC. Like,
It's fine. It's a good game. It's solid.
Well, I'm not trying to defend the game. What I'm trying to say here is that they needed more exclusive games on the PS3 like that. They needed to show something off, because it was just that Uncharted, a Sly Cooper trailer, and then
they got
one move game.
What's his name? They got Cole from Infamous and Street Fighter X Tekken.
Right.
Oh yeah, Tekken. Everyone loves Tekken, right?
Good point. And then they brought out Kobe Bryant to play NBA with the move.
I was gonna say to beat a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Was that with move?
Yeah, that was.
It was. Yeah. Okay.
He beat her with a move.
Yeah.
They're trying to top Cliffy B coming out with Ice T at the Marcus Conference.
Oh, God.
Jeez. They did more. The hell's that?
That medieval,
game. They also came out with what's that? The Dust 514 game, I guess.
Oh yeah, that was cool. Dust 514 is a PlayStation exclusive, which is pretty neat.
And then they showed Starhawk.
Cool. Looks good. Yeah.
Wait, didn't they just show
a trailer?
No Last Guardian. No Last Guardian.
No Last Guardian. No Last Guardian. And no Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right. God.
Yeah, I forgot about Starhawk. Starhawk looks really cool. Except that was just a pre-render trailer.
Where was Battlefield?
Battlefield was EA.
Battlefield should have
been EA. It was 360 with the big one, and then the big one was in EA.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just a weird conference for Sony where the games that they could have showed, like Sly Cooper, could have been exciting if it wasn't a pre-rendered trailer. Starhawk could have. What's weird is Starhawk, you can see gameplay for it everywhere else, but on their show floor, they decided to show a pre-rendered trailer, which is not exciting.
Oh, wow, there's actually gameplay walkthrough of Sly Cooper.
Really?
On game trailers,
This is the thing I've been noticing, though. Like, if you search for all these games, like, you'll find like gameplay trailer from E3, but like all the conferences, they did not show any gameplay. Like, like, I don't understand.
The only time they did,
well, I mean, because they want to show off like what their tech can do, and they figure that all the gameplay is going to be shown on the show floor, and that companies are going to get that and put it online anyway. So why waste their time showing it in their like one and a half hours of spotlight?
Because for people like me who work 9 to 5, I don't have enough time to trawl through game trailers to find everything.
They don't care about you.
They don't care about you, guy who has a regular job. They care about people who have no jobs.
I also think that they want to try surprising people with the coolest product possible. It's the least amount of content, right? A CG trailer does not tell you anything about content, but it gets you. Like, oh, this is something I might be interested in.
Well, what about these trailers that are like BioShock Infinite? That was the game that I was really interested in going into E3. They put together a pretty action-packed trailer, but it was all in-game. So
in-game, right.
Supposedly, anyways.
And there's some
companies
that it makes more sense to do in-game stuff for a trailer, because that's what's really going to get us interested, but I don't know if these development studios really get that. I'm sure it's probably less work for them too.
Well, it's not the development studios; it's the publishers.
I think they outsource the work anyway for the trailers to probably other companies to do them.
Exactly.
Right. And I mean, people who aren't gamers aren't going to know that what they're seeing isn't what they're going to be getting. They're just gonna, they're just seeing something incredible, and they don't know that that's not
what
they're going to get.
When Adam posts a bunch of pre-render trailers, or the people on Kotaku, you guys should know better.
Just
what did I do?
You post pre-render trailers. You say how cool pre-render trailers are all the time.
They are cool.
They're not cool.
So Vita.
It's illegal to use pre-render trailers in England and for showing games, advertising games, right?
Is it?
I think so, because
I think
Medal
it was. Was that something that came about from them using the PS3 graphics for Final Fantasy 13 Xbox ad or something like that?
No, it was from a Medal of Honor advertisement for, I think, Airborne.
What?
Yeah.
I just remember there was a big shitstorm about just taking PS3 video and changing over the UI so it was Xbox control prompts coming up.
Mm-hmm.
For
Final
Fantasy
13. Huh, I
didn't
remember
that.
That
was funny.
Oh, yeah, no 13 too. We didn't see any of that.
There was a trailer for that.
It's on the floor.
There's a trailer
during
there.
The conference.
It's on the floor. Yeah, of course.
Right. It's on the conference.
So yeah. I still haven't been able to force myself to beat 13 yet. I'm somewhere in, I think, chapter 11.
Don't worry. You're not missing much.
Yeah, you really don't miss much.
Don't you save the world at the end? Right?
No, you actually don't.
Unless something weird happens and Hope dies, that guy in the trailer is Hope.
Hope dies.
Yeah, Hope. My hope for that series died a long time ago, buddy.
Okay, let's talk about Vita.
Vita, it looks great.
$249 US.
$250 Yeah, it's really
$250. I remember we talked about this a couple months ago on. Pricing. I think we were speculating about $350, and now it's going out at $250 for the base, $300 for the 3G. That's insane.
Yeah, keep in mind the 3G will have to pay a subscription fee, which they
right.
Never
and that,
talk
I
about.
Find that funny is that you have to pay extra to get the 3G compatible system, and then you have to pay even more to get the service. I mean, it makes sense.
It's
but
really
it's
shady
are you
for them
to,
not
are you
to
have
talk
to pay
about
a fee for it. I didn't know if it was going to be like the Kindle.
No, it's you have to pay extra for the service.
You do.
Okay, because like...
And it's with AT&T.
You can get a Kindle that's got 3G, but you don't have to pay extra for it. You just have to pay the upfront fee.
Because I figure for Kindle, it's just text files,
right? It uses very little, but...
So
I can dream.
The amount of bandwidth you're talking about to transfer games
I can dream. I was hoping, but I didn't expect it.
To dream, perchance.
To sleep, perchance.
Dreams are for fools.
So yeah, I mean, I don't
Hope
remember.
Dies.
I don't remember if we were talking about this on the podcast or if we were just talking about this on our own. But like, when you really get down to it, now that we know the price of the PS or the Vita, it's really just about the games. Like, if you would get a 3DS versus a Vita, because I mean, really, you know, the Vita is technically more powerful. And it can do some stuff that 3DS doesn't do, but the 3DS does some stuff.
So the question comes down to: do you want a new game in, you know, Metal Gear Solid, Uncharted, Silent Hill, which is the standard for PSP, or do you want N64 rehashes?
Yeah. Although it looks like there's definitely going to be a Metal Gear Solid game on Nintendo DS rather than.
Well, okay, so you get a Metal Gear Solid 3 port. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and also Resident Evil looks good.
Yeah, there's new Resident Evil.
You know, let's
Kingdom Hearts.
Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the Nintendo.
Right.
This is branching together, this is melding. I mean, because they're competing directly against each other.
Yeah, we're seeing the system as, you know, oh, it's just, you know, the PSP again, you know. But don't forget, this thing does have a touchscreen and a touch on the back of the system.
Also,
too,
it'll be the first time, unless Nintendo drops the price of this thing, of the 3DS, very quickly, it'll be the first time we've ever seen them on an equal footing pricing-wise.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's the... I think when we last talked, that was the big one. If the price was comparable, Nintendo was going
to
be in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, you put these things right next to the 3DS displays in stores, you put them right next to them, and you're going to see, like, people see this system. I know, for an average consumer, they see, you know, a really like sexy system, you know, the way it looks, the way, you know, just in terms of like the technology in it, it's going to be, Nintendo really needs to lower the price of the 3DS, I think, to compete with the
right
with the PS. Yeah,
but when is it's supposed to come out this December, right?
I think. Let me check.
Is this at holiday
this year? Sometime this year.
Yeah, holiday.
Okay, so Nintendo has some time to actually drop the price to $200 if they have.
No, I was talking to Adam about this the other day. Whoa, he says too soon. He thinks it's more.
Yeah, what
to
I think is going to happen is that they're going right. They're going to, you know, especially I can see them doing a bundle with Ocarina of Time, like in a few months, I'm sure. But I still think it'll be $250.
Yeah, okay, that's probably more realistic.
That, I agree.
Like,
that's
maybe
more
sometime
realistic,
next summer. I think I see a price drop possible.
But for somebody, I mean, I consider myself relatively system agnostic. The last couple generations, I've been playing stuff on every system. I haven't bought a 3DS yet, but if with a Vita's coming out in, you know, in a couple months for the same price as a 3DS is now, with new games, okay, yeah, maybe they're extensions of existing brands, but I'm gonna hold out and wait for that.
I don't see, know. That's the exact...
The games they showed were...
Right, they showed... I mean, you'd have more of a good point there if they didn't show Little Big Planet and Mod Nation Racers, which are great games, don't get me wrong, but you can get them on PS3. They're the exact... it has the same problem as the 3DS in that, where it's just, like, the same games.
But, you know, you think about it, though. I mean, Little Big Planet as a game for a portable system could be amazing, you know, in terms of
but
being able...
But they already have it.
Well,
but
yeah,
you already
but,
have
I mean,
it on your PS3.
Well, but also, I mean, if you're on the go and, you know, you want to pick up a game, you know, you can just play...
Well, then play Little Big Planet for PSP.
For PSP?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're adding a lot of stuff to it in terms of...
No,
like,
here's the thing that I don't get. If you're going to make things that look comparable to PS3, I just wait for you to see... just to put it on the PS3 later on anyway, like they did with PSP games for the PS2 and now for the PS3.
I know, there's really... I mean,
there's no point to get a Vita because I don't want to be playing those games on that console. That screen is too small to be... Like, you couldn't see any fucking detail on anything, basically.
Well, I mean, yeah, the screen's pretty big. I mean, have you seen it up close yet? Or I mean, I haven't.
I mean,
but...
yeah, it is pretty big, but, like, it's not compared to my fucking 32-inch screen. You know, I'd rather play...
The reason you would play a game... Yeah, so Angel makes a really good point. The reason that you are going to get that... You would rather get that game for PS3 anyway so that you could watch it on your goddamn... 32-inch HDTV.
Right, wowing us with graphics on a handheld has been always something that...
Plus listening with surround sound and everything, like,
right.
Come on.
But wowing us with graphics on a handheld has always been something that's like, it seemed like so pointless, because you're enjoying it on a small screen anyway. Graphics are way less important than they are on a big screen, because it's not... You can't really get immersed in a handheld game.
I don't know, I think the Vita's seemed like a pretty big jump, just from what I've seen from the PSP, which is already pretty damn impressive.
No, it looks amazing.
Portable. So I'm just saying, like I think you have a point up until the Vita. I think the Vita is about the limit for graphical fidelity that we can get out of.
No, I wasn't saying it doesn't look good. It looks great, but enjoying
you want to, like, these games are pretty much console experiences, and they're going to be hard to play as a handheld game.
Okay,
I don't think
it's the only handheld that's got two dual analogs or a dual analog,
right.
Two sticks.
Okay, again, it's as hard to play. It's you'd rather play it on a console.
It's not that easy. Like, look, think of it this way. I'm gonna be playing this handheld in my room in front of my big screen, being really mad that I can't play this game that looks amazing on this system. On my fucking big screen. I'm not going to take this on the road, because God knows how long the battery lasts.
Huh. Well, not only that, I mean, I can't imagine myself playing a Call of Duty game on a portable handheld.
Right.
That's not the type of game I want to play that's on a portable handheld.
It's a cool idea that, hey, maybe I can play Call of Duty on the go. Like, I can be, you know,
it's a
at
cool
work
idea, but
and
like
playing
little,
Call of Duty. But you know what? Yeah, I'm not that obsessed.
If they had more games like Little Big Planet... If they had 2D side scrolls, there was one game that they were, what was it? It looked like a God of War kind of game. Like, that would be a fun game to play on a portable.
Well,
I don't want to play
this,
like,
up.
Uncharted, I can't imagine playing. Something in depth, I can't imagine playing on a portable.
I brought this up a little while ago, a couple podcasts ago, and it seems like they're doing this now with the transfaring system, is having a handheld version and a console version, and, you know, you can transfer your saves and just be on the go. So say you're playing Metal Gear Solid 6 or whatever the fuck, you know, you're playing and you gotta go, so you transfer your save to your Vita, and then you can play it, you know, while you're on vacation, come back home, and then transfer your save, and you're, you know, 4 hours later in the plot.
Which is a great idea if you want to buy two copies of the game.
Or, well, no, yeah, what about this, what about the portable, or not portable ops, Peace Walker? How is that working?
Yeah, you have to buy two copies of the game.
Oh, you have to have the PSP version also?
Yeah.
For the HD version that just came out, or that they announced?
Yes.
I think the HD version is going to work on the PSP if you don't have the PSP version yet.
See, that's what I thought, was that if you bought the HD version, you could...
It unlocks the PSP version.
Yeah, something like that.
I can't imagine that.
I don't think they specified,
the
so we don't know.
Even if that's the case with that game, that's not going to be the case with most games. Why would they sell you one game that works on two consoles when they could just sell you two versions of the same game?
But what you just said is, it's basically that one scenario is like... Go on vacation. Let's say people only go on a vacation once a year.
That's $250 for that.
You're telling me I'm going to pay $250 to be able to play this one game for that 1 week I'm on vacation?
Well, okay, so not necessarily, a vacation.
But I'm just saying it's right. it would be nice to be able to do with it. Or you.
We also got to take into effect that most people have iPhones or like Android phones that they play, you know, those games that are much more casual, much more easy to play on the go. Like, when I'm bored and I have nothing to do, I just whip out Angry Birds or Where We're Friends or something like that.
Right, but I mean, that's something handhelds have been trying to do, like, since they came about, is, you know...
The companies want you to take their
handhelds everywhere you go.
They shouldn't be focusing on making Uncharted for a handheld. They should be focusing on making Angry Bird HD or something.
Well, I mean, it's two ways of thinking about handheld gaming.
It's totally possible that they will make Angry Birds for the Vita, and because there's no reason why I wouldn't be able to play it. You know, in terms of
I don't doubt that, but Sony hasn't. I don't think Sony's really had. They haven't said that they're making those kinds of games.
Well, they're focusing.
They will. I would like to see those games for a handheld, like for the 3DS. As much as we might not like, you know. You guys were saying the rehashes of N64 games. The advantage of having a rehash of an N64 game is they're pretty portable games to play.
Right, it's a smaller experience.
It's meant to be a smaller experience. If it's a 6 to 8 hour experience, you could do it on a handheld. Right, there's a reason why you could play Link to the Past on a Game Boy Advance, because it's a portable. It's much more portable. You could do, if they release Symphony of the Night on the portable, it's a portable game. You could save it anywhere at any time. You know, you could play it 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, that's the way it works with the PSP right now, is that if you own the, if I own Symphony of the Night, I can play it on my PSP and then play it on my PS3.
But I think one of the things about the PSP, the problem hasn't been the graphics. It's just a lot of the games, the most popular games have been, well, like Monster Hunter, right? In Japan, that's like the most popular game there
for
the PSP. And it's a portable game. It's a game that's more designed on the go rather than Final Fantasy, like some sort of Final Fantasy 13 game that's 6 hours long, or that's 60 hours long. Can you imagine playing Metal Gear Solid 4 on your on the Vita and getting to the end where it's an hour long movie, essentially? And you can't save the damn thing in the middle of it.
You can put it to sleep. Like,
well, I mean, if it's Metal Gear Solid 4, you can just skip the videos and only play for 2.5 hours.
But the thing is, the whole reason that you're playing a game
roll
like
on
that,
snare drums,
that length
curtains,
it's for the entire story and it's for the entire experience. It goes well with an HDTV.
Yeah,
and I don't think those are the kinds of games that they're really trying to, like, Uncharted is one of those kinds of games.
Well,
it's a beautiful game on HDTV. I don't really want to play it on a portable.
Well, you could do something, you know, in these universes. You could do an Uncharted game, but make it more like along the lines of say a portable ops, which is the same kind of gameplay as the console brothers, but it's just, you know, mission based, small chunks at a time. Well, or something like God of War, where you can save all the time, and so it's really you can.
So what Adam was saying before was that depends what sort of games you want.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want to get a 3DS, you want more portable kind of games, which Nintendo already has. But for right now, they are essentially rehashes.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want to get a Vita, part of the attraction is you get these really great looking games, but the games, they really don't have those portable games that maybe somebody like I want.
I think
now there's other aspects of the Vita that are really attractive. It's like a media hub. It's essentially like a phone. I don't have an iPhone. So that this is something that has some interest for me to have it for the internet and stuff. But in terms of games, I think I want to see them release those games first, and then I would be like, oh, I'll drop it to $250.
Right. The PSP Vita is a really attractive system, and it's got a lot of cool features, and the price is right. But yeah, I was just disappointed overall with their showing of games that you can already play on PS3, which is games I really like. Mod Nation Racers, which is a really fun game. It seems like it would go well with a handheld, but it doesn't even look like they're doing like, oh, this is a handheld version. It's just like they're showing all the stuff that you can already do on the PS3 version. It's not like...
Right, there weren't any features that couldn't be done on the PS3.
Right, there was no new... It's not like Mario Kart where every time they like change it or add new tracks, because now Mod Nation Race is even about that. It's about creating your own tracks. Same with Little Big Planet. It's like, Little Big Planet's fun, but what is the reason why I would buy a console to play Little Big Planet on it when I can already play it on my PS3?
It's important to give it some time, though. I mean, the same thing when the DS first came out. I mean, pretty much the touchscreen at the bottom was used for maps, and you know that was pretty much it for maps and maybe.
And then we
like,
gave the system
options.
A couple years, and the screen at the bottom was still used for maps and shit.
But you
right.
know, I mean,
think for me personally, I don't own a PS3 already. If I was going to drop money right now for a system, I would get a PS3 before I get a Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way I look at it right now is, the Vita looks great. It's a great piece of technology. It's cheap, but I'd rather get the console. It's so much like the console. I'd rather get the console first before I actually get the Vita.
Well, you're not a portable gamer.
I have a DS. I mean, if I was to get a portable game system, I would get a 3DS first, especially with the game lineup that they actually announced. So.
I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I had a DS and I had a PSP.
And you have a 360 and you have a PS3 already.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So
you,
that's what I'm saying. Like I
those
I don't
those
know.
Are the games. Yeah.
I'm gonna hold
right.
out and it's just see what comes out
again.
Of this.
Again, it comes down to the games that you want at this point.
But Adam was Adam was absolutely right about that.
You're right, and I think this is actually the first time that we'll actually see it really come down to the games because of the price. Issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a good thing because that drives developers to create better games for the platform rather than focusing on which platform makes like the prettier game.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, one thing that pisses me off the most about the Vita is the fact that it has a better online system than the PlayStation Network.
Yeah, that's really stupid. Group chat, why can't they add that to the PS3? You fuckers.
because they're gonna hack again.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
as much as we might have loyalties to a certain company, or we may prefer one company over the other, I think in the end, what's going to happen is, and this is actually good for both Sony and Microsoft, it's the best for the consumer, right? Because what's going to end up happening is Nintendo is going to, let's say, nobody's going to go bankrupt because of this.
Right.
Like, if Nintendo's 3DS doesn't do well, they're not going to be out of the game. They will still be able to make the next console. They'll be able to do it for a couple times. Now, if they consistently fail, that's one thing. But if this doesn't pan out so well for them...
So if they Sega?
Well, they'll have one Genesis. They'll have a Genesis.
Or a Virtual Boy or a Game Boy Micro.
Saturn. They'll have a Saturn.
I they'll have something that... It's not going to destroy them.
Right.
And, you know, they're the type of company that learns from... They learn from their mistakes very quickly.
I don't know. They seem more like a company that makes a mistake and then says, how can we trick the gaming populace into buying this shit anyways?
Which I think is a great move.
No.
From a business
perspective, it's incredible. From a gamer's perspective, we're screwed.
Yeah, we're definitely screwed. Know. No more games, guys.
I don't know. I don't think,
nope,
you know,
that's
like,
it. Pack it up. Let's go
like,
home.
Like, I love, I think what they offer, they're always the guys that, they're always the most interesting company.
Yeah.
And so that's because they can afford to try different things.
Or they can't afford to
compete.
To be powerhouses.
Right. Yeah,
they can't afford to be powerhouses. But that's the thing. Their existence is important. I like their existence. Just because it forces the other companies to actually be a little bit creative too.
Right.
I hate their existence because it forced everybody to do motion gaming. Motion gaming is gay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the big thing is the PSP Vita is like the anti Nintendo thing. It's just like it's so refined and so it's really pretty and really it's just. It is really solid. There's nothing that exciting. I mean, the big thing about it is, like, there's nothing new there. It's not really a big, crazy new technology. That's why it's hard to get super excited about it, especially in an E3 conference when you just see games you've already seen. It's not that it's bad. It's just that it's, oh, okay, that's what we expected.
Right.
Yeah, that touchscreen on the back really isn't that fucking, like, isn't the deal. Like,
I was actually wondering about that. Is that as useful as they trying to make it out to be?
I can't imagine. It depends
on the developers and how they utilize it.
Yeah, I was reading something with Little Big Planet where you're walking across piano keys, and on the front, if you press down, it presses down on the piano keys. On the back, if you press up, it presses up on the piano keys. So, and then you have to like move them around to get the Sackboy up to the higher ledge. So you know, it really depends on how they utilize it, and it really could change, you know, some games. So
right, I mean, that's the thing. It seems to be being used for most, if not exclusively, is like manipulating terrain, moving it up and moving it down,
right,
depending on the front or the back screen.
But I mean, does it seem like something that's going to be hamstringed in? I mean, I don't know.
Nah, I bet a lot of people are going to ignore it, to be honest.
Yeah, because I can't imagine. You can't see what you're doing in the back of the damn
thing.
What
the
that doesn't matter.
With the Little Big Planet, when you have your finger on the back, there's a cursor comes up of where your finger's located on the screen versus on the back. So you actually know where your finger's located on basically.
Clever.
Yeah, so, you know, it really depends on how they use it. So we'll see. I mean, right now, you're exactly right that the games are pretty much just what they were doing with the PSP, you know. You know, they're just console games shrinked to the smaller system. But, you know, hopefully with the touchscreen and, you know, maybe the other features, they do have the gyroscope, you know, other things in the system that hopefully they can, you know, make games that are a little bit more casual, a little bit more on the go than what the what the PSP offered.
Right. Unlike PSP, it doesn't scare me away with the price or anything. But it still uses UMDs, right?
No, it doesn't.
It's all streaming? What does it do?
UMDs, what are those?
I don't think they've announced what it was. What it
no, uses. They're SD cards. They're SD cartridges.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
That's even better.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, that's...
And then you can save your data on the cartridge itself, too.
Right, right. Okay. So, anything else from Sony? Or should we move on to
Nintendo? Oh, they're stupid. They completely dropped the ball on Move. They showed one or two Move things, and that medieval shit looked terrible.
Moral of the story, yes.
But you know what, Jeremy, you did a great job, though.
Yeah, Jeremy, great shooting.
Okay,
Nintendo
show. Time. So we're probably going to talk about this for what, like 3 hours, right?
Yeah, six or seven.
Great.
Six or seven hours.
So let's start by how Nintendo started.
Zelda?
They began with a live orchestration, like 5-8 minute orchestration of Zelda music and a Zelda montage.
Which I personally was not that impressed with.
It would have been so cool if you were there. But watching on a stream where it's like shitty audio, you're like, why are they doing this for so long?
Yeah,
then they started thanking people, and then thanking their mothers, and then thanking their fathers for being they were in.
I think the orchestration was a great idea. But I think the orchestra they had the actual orchestra they had could have been better. It was a small chamber group also.
Does anyone feel like they were like it was like just an oh crap moment for them? Zelda's 25 years old. We have to do something. Like
no.
I don't think so.
I mean they did.
No,
cuz
you kind of think
that was
24
Twilight Princess. See, oh crap, we have to do something.
See, versus what they did for, you know, with Mario, with like the collection and like the system and everything like that. I just kind of feel they're kind of underselling Zelda. You know, it'd be really cool.
Get a concert, dude.
We still have Skyward Sword. Maybe we'll see a 25th anniversary edition of that.
Yeah, I mean, I
think they're just at this point trying not to take away the hype for Skyward Sword.
I think that would hype the game more though if they released the collection before the game.
Well, I mean, they're releasing Ocarina of Time.
That plays perfectly into it. Why would you downplay that?
I don't know. I mean, they're releasing Ocarina of Time in 3D. They re-released Link's Awakening on the 3DS. They've got the Symphony going around. They're releasing the Gold Controller.
They're doing Four Sword Adventures
for free
on DSi.
Right. Before we get too far, I just wanted to mention the reason I thought the orchestra was there was because Miyamoto was going to say something about the music in the game being orchestrated, and he didn't. But later on in the day, one of the Nintendo executives, Nate something, said that all of the music, all of the jingles, all of the chimes, everything in that game is live orchestrated music.
See, nowadays, is that really like that exciting? I mean, so many games do live orchestra for the, now.
Yeah, yes, exciting. It is. It's about
the
fucking time.
The franchise it is.
Well,
yeah. For the franchise, it's about fucking time.
Are we going to finally get some voice acting soon then?
No, never.
Are you just telling me
let's figure out getting a story in there first, and then we'll worry about voice acting.
I don't want anybody doing voice acting. Yeah. I actually like reading the text. I know. I find that to be a valid way of doing it.
And it's funny
because every game I play, I can read and listen to the voices at the same time. It's not a big deal.
I saw Kid Icarus, and I was thinking, you know, if they botched the voice... Because Kid Icarus' voice acting is not the greatest.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's hilarious.
It's bad. So the thing is, they need they're gonna have to get an extreme localization team. They're gonna have to get the right voices for it.
I mean, but it's not like it's such a wild thing to have good voice acting nowadays.
Yeah, I mean,
a lot of games have really good voice acting.
You will not make
yes,
anybody
happy.
Yes, you can.
I think there are a lot of good games with voice acting. You can't.
No. There's
if you
a
set
lot of
the money.
Okay, there's a lot of good games with voice acting. There's not going to be a lot of voice actors that will be able to take the place of Ganondorf. There's not going to be a lot of people, like these iconic characters that people know. Once you put a voice onto them, they're not, people are going to, people will be up in arms about it.
That's a stupid fear that you can get over and then you just do it.
I think the only character that people would get up in arms about is Link. I think anybody else,
you can voice Link. You can keep it.
It'd be fine.
Right.
But then you'd have to consistently do it for every other game,
which is not that big of a fucking deal.
I don't know. I don't really care.
Okay. Voice acting does are different. Everybody in a Zelda game is different except for Ganon. He's the only character who remains the same unless it's a direct sequel.
And they could always do
it.
Like,
I mean, this is all aside from the point.
They could always
do it. We can talk about
no
Zelda voice
acting isn't
time.
It's not hurting the game. Like doesn't hurt the game at all.
It only strengthens the game.
It's not like we're back in the 90s where voice acting just sucked dick.
Well, you mean like even Final Fantasy X?
No,
right?
Like Resident Evil 1.
No,
Resident
I mean
Evil 1 was pretty much the time.
What I mean is no having Sam no voice acting in the game.
Remember the last major title that had really bad voice acting?
Final Fantasy 13.
The Last Hope.
No,
you can say like the writing was bad, but the actual like quality of the voice acting was not terrible.
Okay, let's get back to Nintendo and what they had.
What did they have?
Other than...
They had a really awesome video of PS3 and 360 games.
Yeah,
that came at the end. What did they do after
the
Zelda?
The Wii, they showed fucking nothing, which was sad.
So what,
didn't
is
show
Wii
one
dead
thing for the
then?
Or pretty much.
Yes.
Besides Skyward Sword.
People have asked Miyamoto if Skyward Sword is the last Wii game.
Yeah.
No, he said for his team it is, but maybe not for like
this thing,
other developers.
Like the Wii just went out with a whimper. It just seems like it's
well, it's going
it
out, with,
out
a bang,
with a whimper.
Skyward
six
Sword.
Months.
Uh huh.
Oh, but Skyward Sword comes out this year.
Apparently,
which is good.
Maybe.
That's what they
hopefully,
tell us.
If they don't delay it, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't,
because they didn't
they,
put a release.
You know,
date
they're
on
saying
it again.
They're saying it's not a Wii U game, but you know,
Hey, isn't that what they said with Twilight Princess?
No, shut up.
Yeah, anyway, so, it was sad they didn't show any Wii games. They really...
So I think what they did after Zelda was 3DS, right?
Right.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. I like what they did with not showing way too many gameplay videos of games, because we've been bored to death this entire E3 with Sony and the other conferences showing way too many...
20 minutes of gameplay.
Yeah, 20 minutes of gameplay of, like, the boringest fucking segments of
even
each game.
Games that we like Uncharted, do they really need... I don't want to see that much gameplay on stage.
Or Battlefield 3, that looked amazing, but that fucking tank mission was so fucking long.
It was so bad.
Why did they have to show that? Like, out of
I don't know.
And like, they cut out the action in the interest of time and then skip back to the tank mission.
<I know>. Oh,
you think, man. You think the tank mission is the one that they would cut out for the interest of time?
It was bad.
But I like how Nintendo kept it nice and short and just showed you, like, quick little glimpses of all these
3DS
games.
Yeah, the 3DS. But the thing is, the 3DS, they said they didn't use pre-rendered trailers. They showed us in gameplay footage of all the 3DS games, which was exciting because they did announce Luigi's Mansion 2. They gave a release date for Star Fox, Super Mario.
No,
release month.
Release month.
You know what I thought it was so funny, though? Like, every time they showed off a game on stage for the 3DS, they're like, don't forget, this is in 3D.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they have to say that because people are stupid.
But it's just
it's hard enough to sell without seeing it, right?
Right.
There is a legitimate reason why they're doing it. I don't, you know.
And then they showed a clip show for the rest of the games that are coming out, which include the new Resident Evil, which looks really great.
Did they show the new Resident Evil, or did they just show Mercenary?
No, they showed
Revelations.
New Resident Evil.
They showed Revelations.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, and Kid Icarus, they showed a whole gameplay trailer for that, which looks really cool, including 3-on-3
multiplayer,
which is unexpected surprise.
Mm-hmm. And then they were nice enough to throw all of those 3DS trailers up on the 3DS eShop so that you can actually see them in 3D.
Yeah, new Animal Crossing.
Which,
for
which
only $249 US dollars.
Yeah. They're all free.
Did they show Animal Crossing on stage, or was that just after?
No, they didn't. That was just on the eShop.
Oh, but that looks really cool.
Yeah, so Animal Crossing, it looks, I guess you could call it, like, a little more adult, just because, like, the proportions are a
Sex,
little more elongated.
Hardcore fucking, sucking.
Like The Sims. The
I
Facebook
can't wait to
Sims.
See what my top hat will look like.
EA's Sim Social, where you can have sex with all your friends, finally.
And frenemies.
This
oh, yes.
This sounds more like a furry crossing, but... You know, whatever.
Dildles? Do they show dildles?
Dildles Lots on dildles. Stage. Now, the new Animal Crossing, though, it does... You can... every part... You can have, like, separate shoes and separate pants and separate shirts.
You can stuff. Put stuff on walls.
No
you can
fucking
swim
way,
now,
man. Separate pants?
Yeah. No, okay, it's cool for Animal Crossing. I like Animal Crossing.
Well, that's very qualifying, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're excited, I mean, that's not going to win you over to the franchise, but if you're a fan
of
Animal Crossing, awesome. Yeah, looks fun. But
yeah, just because, like, tank missions gets me excited.
So, Luigi's Mansion looked fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Oh, and Mario.
Yeah.
Super Mario 3DS.
I already said that.
Oh, God, that looks...
They brought
and
the
And the actual gameplay videos that they had looked great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then
yeah,
a lot
that, of... That makes me want to buy it. Like, I was like, I think I'm buying it.
Yeah, that conference sold me on the 3DS. I'm getting one.
Diddy Kong Racing has now come to the 3DS in the form of Mario and Friends.
Mario Kart, you mean?
It's still it's still not Diddy Kong Racing.
Yeah, it's still
it's pretty
Kong
damn
Racing.
Close.
But Mario Kart, the new Mario Kart.
Am I
really
the
cool.
only one on this podcast who preferred Mario Kart 64 to Donkey or Diddy Kong Racing?
Wait, that liked Mario Kart 64 better?
Yes.
They were both very
Wait, everyone
good games.
Likes Mario
no,
Kart better, don't they?
No, I think I'd like Diddy Kong better than Mario Kart.
Oh, you're fucking
no,
retard.
No, I like Mario Kart better
no, no,
than
No, as a,
than
as
Diddy
a
Kong.
Multiplayer game, I think Mario Kart was
Listeners,
better.
Listeners, tell us which game you like better, Mario Kart
Oh, you're talking about the adventure mode?
Half of them weren't even alive for that game.
That's true.
Dave, are you talking about the adventure mode?
Go buy an N64, play them, and then tell us.
Who's this
Or just get the Virtual Console version.
That too.
Or,
Wait,
you know,
Dave.
Project 64.
Dave.
Yeah.
Yes.
Are you talking about the adventure... You like the adventure mode single player?
Yes, the single player for Diddy Kong Racing was better in my
opinion. Oh, yeah, yeah. The single player was really...
I really liked the single player in Diddy Kong Racing.
It did... I mean, the thing about Diddy Kong that no other kart racer... Like, no other kart racer could really compete with Mario Kart. Like, the only reason why anybody played Crash Team Racing is because it was on PlayStation. It wasn't because it was fun. but Diddy Kong had the whole single player, which was something that Mario Kart didn't offer, which was really cool.
Which came out of nowhere. I wasn't really expecting that when I got that game.
Yeah, it was neat.
So what else did the 3DS have?
Oh, the
so
Pokemon
Sword look Skyward Sword looked
so
really good.
So what's gonna
happen? Yeah, but during the conference they didn't show us a lot of Skyward Sword, which is disappointing.
Really weird.
Yeah.
We got that video of the child molester guy with the sword.
Oh, they gave him he has a name. He's in the gameplay demo. His name is Giram. So there you go. And the girl who we've been seeing is actually, everybody was right, she's the spirit of Link's sword, and her name is Fi.
I thought it was Fi.
Fi? Or Fi.
I've seen
Fi. Fi, Fo, Fum.
I don't know. Nobody knows how to spell it, but I've seen it spelled multiple different ways, and so I've seen a lot of people saying
you're going to have, like, the spirit of the Hero of Time or whatever, so you'll have, like, the girl is like the spirit of Zelda, and then Link will have the spirit of the hero or whatever, and these are like the eternal characters that pass from individual to individual.
Interesting. I mean, in the same demo with Giram, he says something about capturing Zelda, and he makes one statement like, oh, we captured her holiness. So apparently Zelda is actually... I was under the assumption that she was just a girl who was a friend with Link in Skyloft, but apparently she is some kind of royalty.
Or maybe she doesn't know that, like Tetra.
Wait, are you saying that Zelda is a princess? Spoilers.
No way!
No, I was under the assumption that they were going to do another Tetra thing, but it seems like they're not.
She's very homely, right?
Yes, she's very homely.
She's homely.
Ugly. She's unfuckable, guys. Don't put your dick anywhere near that.
That's what we call a double bagger.
Yeah, exactly.
So who's going to expect...
Take her home to mom!
But Alex, I know you were very... And Matt, you too. I know you guys were excited about the islands in the sky, because those are very similar to Wind Waker.
Oh, my God. The fact that the overworld's more like Wind Waker is so exciting. So exciting. And I'm not kidding.
What I want to know, they look like little planetoids, kind of like in Mario Galaxy. So I want to know if you can only land on top of them and like fall off of them and die.
I saw one. I think you can only land on top of them, but I saw one that had a hollowed out inside.
Oh no, yeah, I saw that one too. But like, it's not. I don't think it's going to be like they have their own gravity.
I'm sure
you can jump off or fall off. But I'm curious to know, like, if you either fly too low, because when you're flying in the overworld, the sky overworld, you have an altitude meter on the left, and, you know, you've got the cloud on the bottom and the sun on the top. And I kind of want to know what happens when you go to those extremities, like, if they'll turn you around or if you die.
They'll probably just stop.
So then what happens if you, like, if you can jump off the islands? What happens if you jump off? I'm sure you would die.
Yeah, or
maybe they have where you have to jump off certain locations, like, kind of like a port type thing.
People jump off things all the time, it looks like. So, who cares?
Oh, maybe you can't.
Yeah, the birds are coming under you, right?
What's
to say it's not going to be like in Ocarina of Time or any other Zelda recently where you fall off something, you get teleported back a couple feet, and you lose
right,
half
no,
a
that's
heart.
What I'm
no,
saying.
No, because the whole point is that the world underneath, you're not going to be able to get to. Like, the world underneath is forbidden, so you're falling into a pit and coming back. It looks like if you just fall, they're probably going to either put up an invisible wall so that you can only fall in certain places. Probably.
Or your bird will come and rescue you.
Or if you do fall off, the bird comes underneath you. Because the demo video showed people just jumping off the edge and the birds coming underneath
you. No, that's a fantastic point.
So
that's
like,
actually probably
Prince of
exactly
Persia,
what it is.
The most recent one.
No, not quite.
Well, not the most recent one.
Oh, yeah.
Prince of Persia.
Or Alika would just... Where the princess would just grab you.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe something like that.
So what's going to happen is that the Skyward Sword's going to get delayed again, and it's going to come out the same time that the Wii U comes out, and there's going to be a Wii version, and the Wii U version, you're going to hold the Wii U remote in your left hand as a shield, and the Wii remote in your right hand as a sword.
No, that would be awesome.
I really think that they're not going to do that because I think
they want to release it in the
25th anniversary year.
Right.
And they're also the only reason that they would put it onto the Wii U would be to upscale the graphics,
because which you could still be use dumb. A Wii.
It would because be dumb.
They I mean, we're not there yet, but the Wii U can't upscale Wii games, so yeah. Why and would
the only
they?
Other, the only other reason, because you can use the Wiimote anyway, so it's not like you're going to be anything new's going to be
happening.
See,
the thing right. that I know though is that all the games that Nintendo's doing right now, like with the Galaxy and stuff like that, they're all in HD. It's just that they're downscaled for the Wii. So if they released a Wii U version, in all reality, it may be 1080p. You know, the resolution may be 1080p just because. Yeah. Yeah, so it may
Who
be
knows,
look
they
gorgeous.
May, they may release a Wii U version, but I don't think they're going to delay it to do that.
No,
I don't think there's going to be another delay. They've already delayed it once.
So once if they,
I don't know. I was looking at a
done.
Bunch of. No, they're wait.
The game is Miyamoto said the game is finally finished,
but they were like debugging it or something.
Probably, yeah. And it's if the Wii U's well, okay. If the Wii U's released a year from now. I wouldn't put it past them to do that, but there's
to
no
do
reason
what?
For them. They'd have to redo the game then.
Because right,
the, what
right,
happened
exactly.
with Twilight Princess was they actually had another like year, 2 years or a year and a half to do this.
Right.
So they had an extensive
I mean, it was delayed
time.
So that they could complete the Wii version.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, we should probably get off Skyward Sword pretty soon, but I was looking at a bunch of gameplay videos today and just, I was reading like all of the text and all the dialogue, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, looks amazing.
Like, because I mean, the gameplay gives us very minimal story, but like I'm clinging onto it, trying to like piece together what I think is going to happen.
The gameplay itself looks kind of, in my opinion. I'm still a fan of the art style. The Girahim, whatever Girahim, his name yeah. is, the demon guy, I am not a fan of. Like I said,
I think he looks cool.
He looks like a sexual predator.
He looks like Vati's gay brother, right?
He looks like he has a rape van. We'll just put it
what, I mean, really, why don't you like... I mean, if that's really your reason, that's a really
I don't like the character design. I mean, just straight up, I don't like the character design.
So that's
no,
one
I can understand
okay,
that.
We can get
no, I'm just saying, like, that one character, I don't like that design, but they used him, you know, in
good
that
for
one
you. Good for you. Good for you, man.
Thank you.
I'm really happy for you. I'm really happy that you don't like this one character and it's going to ruin the entire game for you. It's just fantastic.
Don't worry, Ganondorf.
Will, if it makes you feel any better, Will, I don't like the colors. So.
I'm sure he'll be abandoned
like
after
the
first three temples anyways.
Yeah,
God, I hope not.
I really like the fact that they said that you can go back to all the... backtrack to all the temples because
yeah but see now I'm kind of getting a little skeptical about that because they forget what it's called but it's basically a dark world and so you
no
can do
way.
Light world and dark world
another
dark,
dark
light world,
world
and
really?
Dark world
no way.
Of the same place so I'm not sure like if you really need to backtrack or if they're just calling it that because
so
it's
we're not saying it's a rehash but we are saying that you have to get 3 things go to a dark world and then get 7 things
right.
I don't think that's... I mean, they made it clear they don't want to do that, so...
I mean, they...
I would hold off... I'd hold off and see what it is.
Right, and they are saying, like, over and over and over that pretty much the whole game is a giant dungeon, which makes me feel a little bit better.
So is Skyward Sword going to be packaged with a Wii Motion Plus?
I think it's going to be packaged with that gold one.
Yeah.
With the gold remote itself?
Yeah. Yes.
Probably.
For $50?
Which... I hope so. That'd be awesome.
Maybe.
I'm sure if you want to get that bundle, it's going to be a little more.
Wait, so wait. You're saying that the only way to get Skyward Sword is going to be with a golden controller?
No, that'll be an option.
No,
just like Animal Crossing had an optional Wii Speak.
Right, exactly.
Or Red Steel had an optional Wii Motion
and GoldenEye had the golden controller.
The classic controller,
right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because
Wii Remote Plus is required to play the game, so I mean that would just make sense to me. So yeah.
Oh wow, a game that uses Wii Motion Plus.
The only
we're up
game.
To like 3 now.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, Wii U games are gonna use it. So I guess with that, let's start talking about Wii U. It's called the Wii U.
What a terrible name.
Oh yeah, my god, so now. Bad.
Just it seems like it's like
the Vita isn't so bad compared to. I mean, I don't think it's anything any worse.
No. I mean, but I don't know what kind of crazy names people are expecting. Like, Wii 2 would have been adequate. I don't know why they chose Wii U. But still, like, the name of a console is the last thing to hold against it.
You're not going to...
No, I know. I'm just saying, it's like...
This is the same case with the Vita. And it makes sense to put the Wii name in it so that everybody knows what the hell it is.
Mm-hmm.
And... the U part, they just had to add something to it. Now,
no. I understand the Wii, putting the Wii in to maintain brand recognition. It's just Wii U. What the fuck is that supposed to be?
It kind of sounds
Wii
like Wii
and U. Will, come on.
It kind of sounds like Wii too.
Right, that too. I'm going to make a bold claim here, and you all may hate me for it, but I can't decide if I see this as a full next-gen console or more a step of, like, a Kinect or a Move, like a half console kind of thing.
Well, this is coming from
you. Charge for
it. Oh, my God.
Wait, that's not a Kinect or a Move. Kinect and Moves can't play games on their own.
This is a full console step up, and it's kind of depressingly bad because, you know, it seems like almost a Dreamcast in that, you know,
yeah,
technically it's the next generation, but it's still going to be getting ports of the current-gen stuff. So then, you know,
right.
In a year and a half, when Microsoft and Sony do their next-gen stuff, and it's just going to be, you know,
so here's the
incredible.
Thing. Is it really going to be a year and a half till Sony and Microsoft... when are they going to release their new system?
Well, when did we start hearing about Project Cafe? It was a couple months ago, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but okay, so we're talking realistically. If Sony and Microsoft decide to say next year, next E3... is the earliest that they'll actually say we're working on a brand new system.
Well, they've already.
How many years after that will they actually release a new system?
I would say Microsoft. I could see having my system out next Christmas.
This upcoming E3 will be Microsoft.
So the reason I ask that is if Microsoft comes out with a new system next year, next Christmas. And we had this discussion before. What exactly are they going to improve
for
the next system? So the reason you make a new system is because the current system's technology is not adequate enough to make current games. It doesn't seem like the games have peaked yet.
360's technology is not... I mean, you look at something that, like The Witcher 2 that's got... I mean, like, their medium-low settings are just leaps and bounds above what... consoles can do right now, you know. It's
The Witcher 2 is coming to Xbox, though.
But he's saying that.
Half-Life 2 came to Xbox One, also. That doesn't mean it was a good port.
It was an all right port. I mean, in 1080p, they're already displaying a 1080p, which is the highest TVs can do right now.
Well, nothing on very few things on 360 and PS3 are natively rendered at 1080p.
They say they're 1080p, but they're not really 1080p.
Right, but the next.
Even if it is rendered
okay,
at
1080p, so yeah, the Nintendo one's going to do it, but I mean, it's 5 years after the last generation of hardware. I would damn well hope it's better.
Well, what else do you need? I mean, Crysis 2 can run on the 360 and it looks great.
Crysis 2 was built on consoles and imported to PC, not the other way around.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's put it this way. When PS2 was finally killed off, the reason... you could see why they killed off the PS2, why they stopped developing games for it. So Shadows of the Colossus was one of the last games to come out for it, and you noticeably knew, not only did you noticeably see, like, this thing is really slowing down, as ambitious as the game was, the hardware is definitely being limited here, but you could also envision what the next generation great-looking game is going to be.
Right.
So you know what the difference between a PS3 game is going to be versus a PS2. In fact, you can imagine it before they even announced the PS3, because you already knew in your head, because if you saw a PC game, you knew what a much better looking console or computer game looked like than the current generation. The problem right now I have is I can't really imagine what's going to look so much better than what is already out now. Like, the consoles are still a little bit under a PC, right? So PCs run their games better now. Even for at a $1,500 PC, it'll run better than a PS3 game or a 360 game. But the difference isn't so large that it's going to be, you know, you need to make a new system and people are going to be up in arms. People will see, notice the difference immediately.
Yeah, it's not like a PS1 versus PS2.
This is a topic that we've talked about in the past and we could talk about ad nauseum, but...
The reason I bring that up... Long story short, I don't think Sony and Microsoft really can afford to bring a new system out within 2 years.
The thing that I'm wondering is if they would... Okay, well, first of all, I think the sales of the Wii U are really going to be the determining factor of when Microsoft and Sony release their console, when they announce their console. But, I mean, to say that they would do something as early as next year... disregarding the Wii U completely,
it's
like
completely
would
unrealistic.
Do you think they would do that so close to the Move and Kinect, just completely like taking the loss on that?
But you don't know how
can,
okay, maybe
so
Kinect,
so work that functionality into the next system.
Yeah, you know, it's part of the system. Yeah.
But they don't. It's not selling. So why on earth would they do that?
Well, Kinect
well,
is selling.
Why would they support something that's failing? I mean, you're asking if they would rather lose money and have a new system out, or lose money and not have a new system out.
Because it's not just about admitting you're wrong. I mean, it's a big deal to a company that's publicly traded to be like, oh, yeah, we're giving up on that. It's not good for anybody.
But, I mean, you still, you know, you look at the Kinect. Kinect's via USB, you know.
No, it's not.
Move just uses the camera. So, no. I mean, you could work that functionality into another system.
Yeah, you can.
Right, but I mean, part of the reason that they're not doing as well as the Wii is because they're an accessory. They're not built into the system.
Also, waggle controls suck ass, but, you know.
It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. They're not going to cut. I can't imagine them wanting to cut their losses.
Right.
I want motion gaming to go away.
It's probably going to get even more so next generation.
Yeah.
I see Move and Kinect as both a way to add longevity to the current systems and as an experiment to see if this is something that's really like profitable
to
Microsoft
and Sony. So
much
to ask for a fucking game console.
I think they need more time to see that.
The whole Wii U thing just seems... It's so weird. I just don't understand it. It's... Playing catch up.
So we haven't talked about the Wii U. Let's describe what it is.
Okay.
Tablet.
We'll let you handle that.
It's a Wii HD with a different controller.
It's the Wii HD. It's what people have been talking about for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's about it. It's got a tablet for a controller, and it doesn't have dual analog stick. It's got nubs.
Yeah, and one of the coolest
features. I don't understand why people are so up in arms about that.
Have you played a PSP?
The circle.
No, it's not.
They're not the same. They're more.
Are they like
to
the C sticks?
3DS circle pads. Huh?
Are they like the C stick on a GameCube controller?
No, they're like a circle pad on a 3DS. They're flush against.
Except
the system.
Except they're even better.
Okay, so the circle pad on a 3DS is a glorified D pad, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's analog.
Well, it's analog, it's by definition, it's not a D pad.
Well, read some hands-on with this. It's not like this is the... It's not a bad the controller. Nobody has any complaints about this.
Nobody's been complaining about the controller.
Everyone said it's surprisingly good.
And so, like, I know at least mine, and I'm sure a few of you... My initial reaction was that we've got this... Okay, so the screen on this controller is 6.2 inches, and, you know, the sides are maybe another 2 inches on each side. So we've got basically almost a foot long controller, so it is really just a tablet, and it just, for me at least, holding a tablet like a flat thing is very hard. Maybe not hard, but it's very uncomfortable to hold for a long time. It's uncomfortable for me to move my thumbs back and forth, for me to move my fingers. But they added like a little groove on the back that apparently people are saying makes it feel perfectly natural. So it's got 2 triggers on each side. It's got 2 shoulder buttons. It's got the 4 face buttons. It's got 3 buttons down on the bottom, home, start, select, and the 2 circle pads. And a camera, and a mic, and a stylus. And
headphone jack? Did you already say that?
Headphone jack, volume
slider. Well, the cool thing about it is that you can So basically, you can take the image from your TV. You can use it as like a second screen, like a DS bottom screen, or mm-hmm. you press a button and the image from your TV goes onto the thing. So you can just play, like if you're playing like Zelda. And
so are we gonna bring up the same conversation point we had about the Vita about not wanting to play console games on tiny screens?
Yeah, but you don't.
Yeah, that's something I was wondering about.
This comes with your console. You don't have to pay. It's not like a reason to. You don't have to buy this console or controller extra. It's free. It's another option. If PS Vita came with PS3,
because you have to
PS3,
be within range of your system to play it anyways.
Right, but so. I mean the question is still
I mean
there
the PS3's
we
been
saying,
doing this for years.
We were
also.
Saying that we want to play these big experience games on bigger TVs.
Right, you do, but you have the option. It would be like if PSP Vita came with your PS3 and you could do the same thing with it, that would just be another option rather than a reason to buy it. It's not a reason to buy the Wii U. It's just another thing it can do.
Really? That seems like one of the major selling points that they're trying to push.
You know what's funny, though? I read something where Sony said that they could almost do that with the Vita connected to
it. You still have to fucking buy the system. It doesn't come with it.
If you're going to have to... You would have to pay $550 to get both of the two.
But if you already own, you know, a PS3, you know, that's only...
But yeah, but you can take a Vita with you outside of the range of your system.
It's still $550. So, and the point of the Vita was that you're buying a portable system. In this case, it's a system that you can cook, you know, if you have to. I agree with Matt. This isn't, it's not the main point, but it's a minor selling point. If you want to play on the tablet, you could play on the tablet.
Yeah, it's just another option
to play. If somebody else wants to watch fucking TV while you're playing the game, you don't have to interrupt the two.
Okay, you guys are saying two different things, though.
I just have a
originally,
hard time imagining...
Wait. Originally, we were talking about the reason people don't want to play these games on such a small screen is because they're a big experience. They're 60-hour, you know,
right.
action-adventure games. And we weren't at all talking about the price. We weren't talking about systems separately. But now we are. So which is it?
No, it's both.
All of the above.
Okay, we're not talking about the price. We're talking about a reason why you would buy a PSP Vita. You don't want to buy a system specifically to play games you'd rather buy in a PS3. I wouldn't buy a Wii U controller if it was $250 for my existing Wii. But the fact that it comes with the system and it's free with the system, it's with it. It's bundled with it. So it gives you another option. If a PSP Vita came with my PS3, great. It doesn't, though. That's the point.
Bundle package.
Okay. If they gave it to me free,
again, I'm not paying $500. I'm not going to pay $500 or $550
right.
to get.
That's the thing is, if Sony handed me a PSP Vita, you know, I'd be like, "Oh, this is cool. Look at what you can do." But if they're trying to sell me it, they're not trying to give it to me for free.
What if the Wii U is $450 though?
Then it's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be a failure.
Okay, yeah. What if?
I mean, it's
got to
be somewhere around there. Say it comes out at the same price. The hardware itself, the same price as the Wii, that controller is going to be more expensive than the Wiimote and the Nunchuck. I mean,
yeah,
you're looking at
a controller. So let's say realistic,
$350 at least.
I think at minimum it needs to be $350. Like it can't go.
So
I mean, at max it can't go higher.
I think that's the minimum.
I think
so. That's got.
I think max is $350. Personally.
The max that they can sell it will be $350.
Yeah. I'd guess
that's probably going to be the sweet price.
I would guess $399. I would
guess
no. I think it's too much.
No, it's
really
not
going to
sell at
$399.
It's
way too expensive.
It's $100 more than the freaking the 3DS.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy though. That you know, I mean, if there's some
$350.
No, $350 wouldn't be.
$350 is not crazy.
It's not crazy.
No, $399.
I think
is.
It's going to be hard for them to sell at $350 though. For them,
it will be hard for them to sell it, but they're. In terms of where they can sell it,
it has to be $350. It has to be a $350.
It has to be a $350.
Right, and yeah. I mean some of the reason, at least from what I see, that they can get away with upping the price, but people will still buy it. And I think the fact, I mean, this hasn't been confirmed yet, but so far they've only shown one Wii U controller per console, and that's what it seems to be. So I mean, if they give you everything you need, like you can't. There's no possible way to get something that you don't have in this package. for $350, that's, you know, that's a fantastic deal.
Yeah.
You have everything you need. You don't need to buy extra peripherals in order to play games.
Now, the question is, though, and, you know, I'm really interested in what they're going to do with the Wii U, but as a consumer, do you see, you know, okay, so realistically, if they released the Wii U at $350, you're going to see probably Microsoft do a price drop and Sony do a price drop. As a consumer,
yeah, of course.
As a consumer, do you see the Wii U as... as something now, the one advantage that the Wii has always had is that it's always been cheaper than the 360 and PS3. So you always got a different experience and a console for a cheaper price.
Not necessarily. I mean, the isn't the 360 at $200 without the hard drive?
No, it's
it's got four gigs internal.
But the Wii is cheaper still right now, right? It's like $150 or something.
Right,
like
it's $150.
No, but they recently dropped it to $150.
Right.
So there was a point where
they're the same price.
So we don't, because Wii sales are tanking now, so they're dropping the price to see if that's
raises
sales again.
Do you see it as a consumer who's walking in the store and maybe, you know, a PS3 is $250 and maybe an Xbox is like $200-$250 and the Wii is $350? Do you think that's a different type of experience worthwhile of say buying over a current generation console?
They have a.
I mean, that's something we can't really.
Yeah, they have a tough sell there. You're right.
I mean,
it's a tough sell.
It goes back to the Dreamcast. You're a half generation step up, and
right,
you're just coming
exactly
out in between generations.
Right. It is technically a next gen system, but we've yet to see
hardware
how much
wise. It's barely a step up, though.
Dreamcast had a lot more problems than that. Dreamcast. The main problem with the Dreamcast, though, is that it didn't have
piracy.
It didn't have software support.
It's the closest example you can get.
No.
It would be a closer example
if Nintendo's Wii tanked.
Yeah.
That would be the closest example to Sega.
If Nintendo was doing bad right now, but they're on top. So it's not like Sega.
I'm just talking
and
about
also,
the straight up hardware. You can't deny it's
hardware is difficult to tell because in terms of Sega's case, hardware wasn't the only reason that they completely tanked.
No, the reason why
hardware
they tanked
is not the only reason why the Dreamcast.
I mean, the Dreamcast tanked is because it had
Sony's
almost no appeal to Western audiences.
Dreamcast tanked. And price.
No, it was because it didn't have a lot of things that it didn't have a lot of Western games. It had a lot of Japanese, like Shenmue. Everyone loved that on Dreamcast in Japan. Nobody fucking bought that in America. It's not a big hit here.
I pirated it.
but I mean,
it was also following was it Sega CD?
Yeah.
Which also
Saturn.
Was
it Saturn?
Sega Saturn.
And then that was followed by which also followed Sega
CD. It was,
they had a string of this is a company that had a string of failures.
It was all, I think yeah.
And that was sort of the nail in the coffin.
I don't think
that was their attempt to get back, but it just did not happen.
Sony kind of killed them each time though. I mean, you know, they released the Saturn and then the PlayStation 1 came out. They released the Dreamcast and then PlayStation 2 came out. So, I mean, right. I don't think...
I mean, no, I think the Dreamcast died long before, even before the PS2.
I think the
PS2 still...
It,
yeah,
it
killed
the PS2
really,
did it in.
Yeah.
It wasn't doing so well even
no,
before
it wasn't.
The PS2 was.
But the
was
PS2
because
that
they, sort
the
of
nail
problem.
In the coffin, though. The PS2 was...
The PS2 was a nail in the coffin, but the Dreamcast was already going downhill.
Right, and but
like,
I mean...
They were still having a hard time getting that to sell.
Regardless, it's... Nintendo's in a completely different situation than Sega. Completely
I think
different.
If you, yeah, so, it's hard to ignore the company situation.
Yeah.
The two company situations and saying they're completely irrelevant to what's going to happen to the next generation.
So we've been talking a lot about the future. I think we could even, you know, do that in another podcast, but let's continue talking about, like, recap wise what we saw.
Oh yeah. Okay.
So we've talked about the controller. I think we've said pretty much
they
everything
were smart.
There is to
Nintendo
say about
Nintendo was
that.
Really smart in bringing in that reel of all the different developers talking about the Wii U and then bringing EA zombie guy.
Dr. Death.
Yeah. Guy. Fucking.
The Crypt Keeper.
What did you keep saying, Angel? Uncanny Valley? That guy,
Uncanny Valley.
That guy's
get me out of here.
So creepy. But yeah,
the dead eyes.
That
so apparently EA is like super excited about the Wii U.
Yeah, and they brought it out, and
or so they say.
They promise.
Didn't they
it was like some kind of pledge.
Didn't they do a similar type of like developer spiel when they announced the Wii though? Didn't they have the same type?
No,
of,
like, Ubisoft did.
Yeah, but it was like six developers that they just put in different disguises
instead of ten.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the I real. Think yeah, they did that.
It was like six no-name developers, and you know what I noticed is that like the really really excited ones are the ones that make the shittiest games.
Yeah, but it's pretty exciting to see.
I think developers
like,
are really excited that they can make another version of their game and port it right. to the Wii U and sell
right.
it.
The thing is, because the Wii U is, you know, as powerful or more powerful than the current consoles, they can not only develop on the Wii U itself and port to other systems, but they can port games that have been developed on the other two to the Wii U without redoing anything.
Yeah, I think that's,
and that's the
thing.
That's
the
really
about,
big
yeah.
thing. Right.
I just like I saw that reel and I realized like, hey, these guys are just happy. I mean, they just want to jump on this bandwagon before.
Everybody loves Nintendo, but they've been making it so hard on themselves to make stuff. And now everybody's happy. Go ahead.
I'm just saying the one thing they need to talk about is what they're going to do with their online structure.
Yeah, no, they do. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to talk about it at this E3.
They need
before,
to.
Before we started podcasting, there was the, who was it? The Ubisoft developer roundtable. And they had mentioned that there's going to be like very integrated online, or not integrated, very expansive online in Ghost Recon Online.
Yeah.
And so, I forget, there's a whole list of things they had, but it was like achievements, you could see what your friends were doing, you could, you know,
no
chat.
Friend codes.
They didn't say anything about that.
No, they didn't.
But then, did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
They said no friend codes?
But then
codes
somebody...
At, yeah, no whoa, friend codes
wait, 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 wait. At the end of that, it was a Q&A session, and somebody asked, you know, about the online, and... They basically said, this is what we want to do. It's up to Nintendo, whether it's system-wide or it's game-specific. So that doesn't really give us an answer, right? Yeah.
I don't think that Nintendo's still debating on what to do specifically. And you have to, you know, if I was any of those companies right now, I'd be a little bit wary how much of the online you want to put up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's getting an awful lot of bad publicity lately, you know. Xbox Live gets an awful lot of bad publicity because a lot of shit, crime shit happens. You don't want that blowing up in your face and saying, and being put on, you want some sort of social responsibility. Mm. And plus Sony being hacked, you know, those things are all contributing to, I think Nintendo's really talking, like, how much are they, is there any way to be very secure? How much information can we get out? You know, they're trying to figure out what they can and can't do.
No, it still needs to be done, regardless of what the fucking fears are. They need to have fucking online.
I agree.
I don't give a fuck how scared they are. Man up. Throw your
Nintendo,
fucking online.
Nintendo.
You need something, the minimum of a PlayStation Network.
So while Nintendo likes throwing, like, really crazy and different stuff out there, at the same time, extremely conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what, I don't blame them for it. It may not be a good policy decision, but I understand why they're making the decisions, why there's internal struggle with this.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody understands it, it's just that nobody likes it.
Right.
Well, you know what, then get the fucking hackers out of there. You know, don't be a fucking dick online. You really want this to not be an issue, then stop, just don't fucking misbehave online.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen, yeah. Ever.
Of course not, easier said of course than done. Not. Of course, easier to send it on, but you know what? If gamers want that kind of stuff to happen, they have to be a little bit responsible.
Well, I mean, you know, the people who are hacking them aren't necessarily the people who are playing these games.
No, but you know, if you have if the common thing you hear on Xbox Live is some 10-year-old fucking, you know, shitting his mouth off.
Yeah, but you just mute him. It's not that big of a deal.
No, but I understand, but you don't want that. That's something you don't want constantly happening, and that's something the company is concerned about.
It's Microsoft not that big of a deal. You literally just press a button. It takes two seconds, and you never have to listen to the kid
there
again.
There is very expansive parental controls that you can just take care of that immediately, before it even happens.
I don't think Microsoft and Sony have an issue with it, but I do think Nintendo has an issue with it because they
just fucking get their panties out of a wad and fucking man up.
It's not a man up issue, you know.
It is. You need to stop being stupid.
You know what they don't want happening, and this is. In reality, what ends up happening, you don't want this fucking coming up on Reuters. You don't want it coming up on Associated Press that something bad has happened and Nintendo's name is going to be associated with it. I think that's their biggest concern because they can't they're not a large enough company to really handle something like that. And what are they going to say? Well, we had some parental controls, and they're going to get bad publicity for it. Microsoft is used to that kind of thing. They're an American company that can deal with it. Mm. Sony has a large, expansive American division. They can deal with it. They know how to deal with it. Nintendo is still run like a mom-and-pop you know, it's a video game company. It's not an extensive, expansive entertainment company. They're not going to... It's something that they internally do not really want to deal with. It's something they want to try avoiding. You know, it's easy for you to say, man up, but you're not the one that has investors. You're not the one that has all the money in it. You know, there's some sort of responsibility the company still sort of does feel, and I, you know, that's the struggle that they have to go through.
Yeah, but you're aiming this console at the hardcore gamer, and you're not going to give it online?
No, I don't think they're not going to give them online. Yeah. I think they're trying to figure out what they can do at this point.
Yeah, it's all friend codes again.
You know, and they're going to try a system, and it may or may not work. It may not even be a friend code system anymore. Hopefully,
you
it's not. They know it's not going to work.
It's
they know it's not going to work, right?
A U code.
And as much as you guys laugh, but like, look, as much as you guys laugh about it, I mean, it is a serious issue, and I don't. You know, the friend code is a bad idea, but I know why, you know, again, I know why they implemented it. It's not something I would say, like...
Right, we all understand.
I don't put it lightly.
So what...
And you guys, like, it's a fucking joke amongst hardcore gamers, but hardcore gamers are the most immature group of people on Earth.
I know.
Right?
Okay, no, that's... that. Maybe not. So what... Because there are a lot of them who are not immature people.
Okay, let me stop you guys for a second. Will has to leave, so let's all say goodbye to Will.
Yes, I have to leave.
See you, Will.
I have to work
in the
morning.
Goodbye, Will.
Goodbye.
Thank you for joining us.
Yep. Okay. See ya.
Bye.
How am I getting
here? Okay, continue.
So
continue
I think
the onslaught.
I think Nintendo is going to... Look, I think what's happening right now is Nintendo's still trying to figure out how they're going to set up the online. Hopefully, it will be like how Sony has it set up, but they might not provide as much personal information or something like that.
Yeah,
and that's it. You know, if they just left it that way and that was it, maybe put some sort of parental controls, that would be fine. Maybe make it bare minimum. You could put your friends' names on there, maybe limit the amount of communication or something. Mm-hmm. And if you really want to be doing it, you know, able to do voice chat, maybe you need to get the friend code or something.
So,
you know, I mean,
what hurts Nintendo more though? Bad publicity or not selling systems because their online is not... You know,
yeah, because like
you
think of this
not
way, this
selling
thing
systems definitely doesn't hurt Nintendo at all. So,
but if one leads to the other,
right? But I mean, Nintendo's not hurting because of console sales. It's
and regardless of this whole thing with Sony, I mean, they're still selling systems, and there's I think the hardcore took more an issue with the whole the down of the PSN than regular people did. I mean, you know, most people, even when the PSN down was down, I was at work, I was telling people, well, you know, the PlayStation Network is down right now, you know, they were still buying, oh, I'll just play it when it comes back up, you know. They were not worried about it, you know. It was more of an issue with us.
I think it was more with an issue when people heard their credit card information could be
fucking stolen.
Yeah. Right.
That's the big deal to anybody ever.
That was a big deal for me.
That should be an issue. And if gamers are not taking up issue that their credit card information was being leaked,
right,
then you guys are fucking immature idiots.
Well, it didn't end up getting leaked, actually, though.
No, but, you know, any sort of information leak, this is something that Nintendo is probably considering. Maybe they can pull it off. That all they put up, all the information they put up, they may need, you know, the most limited amount of information possible. You know, that's what they may decide.
Yeah. Well, they already have your information on file for when you use the virtual console.
Yeah, so, I mean, that they might, this is what they're trying to figure out. I don't know what it is. I have a feeling that, and we were talking about this before we started the podcast, that the companies probably knew about this for a couple, how long do you think, Adam? Like 2 months? 2-3 months?
No, I think it was, well...
Half a year?
I mean, yeah, that sounds a little bit more realistic.
Because it sounds like they knew so little about it, they couldn't even get anything together.
No, I think they just weren't allowed to say much about it.
Right.
Because you know how Nintendo is. Nintendo doesn't like saying anything about it. Right. If they could, they would spring games up without even mentioning the release date. Like, all of a sudden, you go to the GameStop and be like, oh, this game came out? What?
Yeah.
No, but I think, like, let's
when
say...
The fuck, when did Pikmin 4 come out? When I didn't even know 3 came out.
Oh, Pikmin 4 I on think... Wii U, by the way. They announced that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When did Pikmin 3 come out?
Or Pikmin, like, sorry, Pikmin 3, that's what I meant.
Yeah, like, all of a sudden you walk in the store, Pikmin 4 is out, and you're like, wait, wait, did I miss Pikmin 3? Yeah. How did that happen? Fuck you, Nintendo!
Okay, but I don't know. We're getting so off from the conferences.
Yes.
That's what they announced.
Go ahead.
Basically, on stage, they announced the Wii U. They announced what the controller does. They didn't announce any actual games for it. I mean, they announced a couple of games for it. They didn't show anything.
Well, they announced the controller does, like, in the same way they did for the Wii. So, like, some of it could be
right.
Skeptical.
They showed it was a demo reel for first party stuff, but then they also showed confirmed third party games.
Right,
Like Matt said a while ago, those were all footage from like 360 and PS3 versions of the games.
Yeah,
yeah.
But they also did show. Their tech demos, which were running in real time, not pre-rendered cutscenes, which was very nice.
Oh,
not target footage.
We didn't talk about the HD Zelda demo that they showed.
Right,
because I don't want to talk about it. Hurts my soul. Every time.
Oh God, guys, so good.
It's cool. Like, what was most impressive is it wasn't a Killzone 2 situation where it was target footage or anything, and it was nice
so
to see it running
the way
in real time.
You know, everybody thought that it was in fact CG, but then they have that on the show floor, and it's an interactive demo where you can
change the lighting, change
dynamically,
camera angles.
Right, you can dynamically change the light, change the camera angles, and add a map.
The only thing is, you know, it's no different than any other tech demo. Like when NVIDIA releases a tech demo and stuff like that. I mean, they always look better than what you can actually play. That's the problem. I mean, you know, I can download a bunch of, you know, NVIDIA tech demos, you know, every time they release a new graphics card or something like that, and the tech demos look amazingly, like, better than anything out there, you know, game-wise, but you'll never see that in an actual game with everything that's going on with physics and gameplay and frame rate and everything like that. So, it looks great, but I don't think that's what you're going to see from the Wii U, though. It's still a tech demo. You know, you're not.
But you don't think it's going to look.
Don't say that.
At least as good as the Zelda thing looked like it could probably run on current gen systems. It just was nice to see it in HD with looking better than the Wii.
I think it looked better than anything that's on current systems right now.
You think so?
Honestly, yeah.
I mean, the
lighting and the textures.
What I really want, I want an HD direct feed of that because everything is off screen.
I know.
So
yeah,
that's really
we saw came close to it, except
I
the
really
guy
want,
put the fucking controller right in the middle of it.
I really want a direct feed of the bird one because to me that really doesn't look all that good. But I want to be sure.
Yeah, I don't get why Adam keeps saying that because that looks amazing, and I don't.
I thought the bird. Yeah, I thought the bird one looked. Nice.
See, I think the Zelda one is so far ahead of the bird one. But
no, I think
like
the bird
said,
one looks
both,
better than
off-screen.
Anything on this generation. I don't think the Zelda one does, but I don't know. I think it's still, even though it
the fish look kind of weird in the bird one.
The biggest thing to me is the fact that they didn't do, my most hated thing is target footage. Like they hope it will look this good. They hope the system will be able to look like this, like the Killzone 2 thing. And then it doesn't end up, at least this is running, it's a little better.
Right. Right. Good news that it support or the discs that it uses are 25 gigs. They're not Blu-rays though.
Right.
They haven't said
it's Green-ray.
Yeah. They haven't said if the Wii U can actually play Blu-rays and
it
God
can't.
They better
no, it
but
can't. It doesn't have a Blu-ray.
They can't.
But whatever. That's
25 gigs.
It's a proprietary 25 gigs.
Is big
and,
enough.
And that's just single. That's just right. That's just a single layer disc. So it is pretty much identical to Blu-ray. So, you know, if they decided that they needed more space,
well,
they
hired Ben Affleck
it.
To reverse engineer a Blu-ray player.
Ah, I see.
And Blu-ray discs, and they got it.
So, I mean, the point is that there's tons of room for them to do stuff.
Yep.
And
then they showed
have
us...
you guys seen the console itself?
Yeah, it looks pretty much
yeah,
similar.
Me and Matt measured it yesterday.
Oh, yeah, it's a slightly longer. It's like 2 inches longer.
It's like 2 inches longer, we said, and then like
an inch
and a half wider.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's a
and
little
so
bit.
And so, Dave, you were saying that you're a little worried that something so powerful is not going to have like enough room to breathe in there.
No, it's nothing to do with the physical fans or anything like that. I'm wondering
how
much technology can actually fit in that system. You know,
sure. I personally am kind of worried about how hot it'll get because it does have like tiny little sliver exhaust vents on the sides, and then like one Wii like square where the fan is in the back, and that's pretty much it.
I think it'll be fine.
And it they have said it's always on, like the Wii, and you know the Wii does get pretty hot, so
yeah, but it doesn't overheat. So
true, but I don't know. It doesn't have a USB adapter, or I'm sorry, it does have USB adapters. It's got four of them. It doesn't have an Ethernet port.
Wait, it doesn't?
No.
Fuck.
So hopefully that means that it's wireless out of the box, and I'm wondering
if the USB to
Ethernet adapter for the Wii is going to work for this one, or if we have to get like another one.
I remember having problems with the Ethernet. Do they have a software update for it?
For what?
For Windows 7? The USB Ethernet.
Oh, are you getting your internet from your laptop to your Wii?
My PC, my desktop to the Wii.
Huh.
I was, but
I don't know.
I
only did that briefly. I mean, now I just use it straight from the wall. So
okay.
So battery life on the controller.
Yeah, nobody
it's
said anything about it. It is rechargeable.
It uses an AC adapter.
They haven't. Right.
Yeah, it does.
That's crazy.
So yeah, battery life and range, they haven't said anything about. They haven't said what the resolution of the screen is. People have been saying that it's not HD, which I wouldn't doubt, but again, at that size, it doesn't need to be HD.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the NGP.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, nobody has complained about the display. I mean, it still looks fantastic. You see exactly what you see on the TV. There's no latency between what you see on the TV and the controller.
It's a little bit early to be criticizing about battery life when we don't even fucking know anything else about it. So, all the other stuff is a lot of speculation.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the actual implementation of Wii U and what we think and what we would like to see, I guess. For me, like, one thing that I think is going to be really exciting, and Angel and I were talking about FPSs the other day, and then Ubisoft actually, it seems like they're implementing both of our ideas in their games, like Ghost Recon and Freak Killer, I think, was the other one. So what I was saying is basically you would use the Wii U controller as a window into a virtual universe, which they've done in Shield Pose, one of their demos on the show floor. Yeah. So basically, imagine that you can move... Okay, so this is an FPS. You are using the Wii U controller basically as like a camera, right, into this virtual world, and so you move every which way. Say your enemy's behind you, you literally have to like turn around, do a 180... and you can see the player behind you, and you can, you know, strafe and whatever and shoot with the triggers. And I just think that'd be really cool. And apparently that's something that they're going to do. And then, Angel, did you want to say what your idea was?
See, I was saying that for Call of Duty, when you have to look at the map, the overall map and multiplayer, you have to press start, and then it'll pop up on the screen. I was thinking that now you can just have that on the bottom on the controller at all times, so that way you don't have to just quickly glance down to see where everybody's shooting.
It's
going to
be just like the DS's bottom screen, which is cool.
Yeah, basically. Well, that's what it really is. It's just a giant ass DS,
which is awesome.
It is a giant ass DS.
It's more. I think it's more useful for a console, an inventory, is more useful on a console than it is on
you can have like the five, like, you know, the 10 classes, whatever the hell you have in Call of Duty, and quick switch. You don't have to press, because like those. Sometimes I don't have time to press start, and
you can have your iron boots on the tablet.
Right.
Yeah.
Switch them very quickly.
I think the most important thing, and it really just hammers home the Nintendo, like they keep making these weird controllers and like the DS as a touchscreen stuff, but it's still works as a regular controller. Just like the Wiimote does, just like the DS does, just this works as a regular controller with extra stuff. It's not
Shaped like a regular
controller. Right, it's not instead of a regular controller, you have to use a touchscreen or whatever.
And I mean, addition to that, it supports all of the Wii controllers, and that's including the Wii, the classic controller.
Right.
So. It doesn't support GameCube games or GameCube controllers, though, which I'm very disappointed about. Because I was looking forward to a console being able to play three generations of disc-based games, which
yeah, but
you know,
they'd have to add extra
awesome
stuff. So
I don't know, But it is backwards compatible with the Wii, which is very good. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And that about wraps it up for that conference. Nothing else really happened.
No,
it was a great conference, though, because they showed it. Nintendo doesn't leak anything beforehand, so no matter what happened on stage, it was all new, which was really nice.
Yeah, I just don't know. And so Nintendo stock tanked the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Which
today.
Is important to put. So I don't know if they're going to be able, and you know, I'm skeptical that they're going to hit. They're going to be able to get the casual market as much as they did for the original Wii.
Right.
It's a harder sell in some ways.
They made it easier on themselves by supporting all of the Wii controllers, though.
Yeah.
Because the casual players who already have the Wii, they don't have to go out and buy a whole new set of stuff. They just have to buy the one thing.
Right now, yeah. So right now, they're sort of... their strategy right now is trying to bridge the gap. I think they're trying to go a little more towards... they're going definitely towards more of the hardcore market, but they're trying to... It's like they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too. I mean, that's mm-hmm. sort of the strategy. You know, the pricing is also, again, the pricing is going to be important. So if it's more than $350, the casual market is not going to get it.
Right.
And they have to stress that if it's only one controller, you do not have to buy anything else for this fucking system.
Right, exactly.
So
I think that's going to be a very, very big selling point, if indeed that is the case.
Yeah. In reference to what Will and Dave were saying earlier about the you know, what's the difference between a Vita, where you're playing the console on your, you know, the console version on your handheld, versus the Wii U, where you're playing that version on that tablet.
Mm.
I think the point we were making with the Vita was, it's not so much, you know, you're sitting in your living room still playing it. It's, I don't want to be on the run and be playing this, you know, I don't want to be on a bus doing this.
Yeah.
Playing that kind of game. The point of doing it for the Wii U was specifically, if you have a family of four people and people want to do other things other than play, watch you play video games, you have the option of sitting there and still playing your game on the tablet.
Or just if you want to lay down on your couch instead of sitting up and looking at your TV, you can do that.
If you want to be even lazier.
I'm not kidding, I like to do that, and it's hard to hold a controller like that.
If you want to do that for your Vita, that's a great thing. That's good for you. But specifically for the for the Vita, you know, it's like you're getting a portable. You're buying a portable system to use it as a portable system. You're not doing it so you can sit around your bed playing it. You're using it so you can go on the bus and play it, or
sure,
or, you know, go into class. You know, you're using it as like an MP3 player.
Well, that's what you would think people buy it for.
Yeah. At least I think most consumers would plan to be buying it for that. They would be considering that, not as just so I could play it on my bed.
Right, nobody's... Mm. They're definitely not selling it like that. Sony's not like, oh, yeah, look at this new system. You can play it you could play it in different rooms in your house. Here it is.
In fact, if that's the case, I would just get a Vita and not buy a PS3 and just get Vita games.
Hmm.
I think we into more
that
PSP, Vita versus 3DS. I think we can have maybe when the Vita actually comes out. But I think we covered all the conferences. Good recap. But I really think we should get to emails because this podcast is going long.
Yeah, before we do that, I do want to remind people, I'm pretty sure we already said this, but the 3DS trailers that they showed in Nintendo's conference are all in the eShop on the 3DS, and they're free to download, and they're in 3D. In addition to that, since the eShop just launched, until June 7th, you can get Excite Bikes for free, and it's not just a port, it's a 3D remake of the NES game.
Oh,
and then
what else? Oh,
well, one
Link's Awakening was supposed to be free, too.
Link's Awakening is $6. It's not in 3D. Okay. It's just a straight port. Although they did add save states, which is really cool. But also free is a Pokedex, a 3D Pokedex app. And I don't know if that's free forever or if that's free just until the 7th, like Excite Bike. But yeah, emails. What do we got?
First one from Noah Harned, titled Zelda.
Got to... Nope, that's not the right one. That's a Twitter email. All right, Noah, Zelda. I know I keep sending emails, but I just thought you guys would like to know something.
We would like to know everything. So if you could
the new Zelda Skyward Sword is a prequel to Ocarina of Time. Just a rumor, and G4 actually said it without making a big deal during one of their regular YouTube videos. And now it intrigues me because is it possible to make a prequel to Ocarina of Time? I mean, really. It doesn't make any sense, but if it's true, I'm sure Nintendo will make a clever way to make it work. Well, bye.
We were talking about this yesterday.
But no, he's right. G4 totally said that. Whether they know something we don't, or if they're just assuming. But, I mean, there have been rumors going around that this is actually a prequel to Ocarina of Time.
Basically, thanks for the email. You don't want to make me and Alex angry, though, because we could talk about this for 2 days straight, probably.
Okay, well, dismissing the fact that you guys don't think there's a timeline... Hold on. Minish Cap and the Four Swords games are supposed to be prequels to Ocarina.
Yeah, guess what? Nobody gives a shit.
It's not that unbelievable that this game would also be a prequel.
Well, I'm not dumb.
You fucking Guido, fuck, get out of here.
You and your fucking Unabomber beard can go fuck itself.
And right. It will.
Nicholas Cuvetto. So,
it's first Cuvetto.
So, we all, let's hope, saw Nintendo's new system. Now you know it's a full system, just a controller. I think he meant to say not just a controller. What are you thinking about it now? Are you mad that Pikmin 3 is not coming to the Wii instead of coming to the... Instead it's coming to the Wii U.
I would say I'm kind of angry that I won't get to play it for a little longer, but it sounds awesome on the Wii U, and I'd love to see Pikmin with HD graphics and stuff.
It makes sense that it would be on the Wii U because you can like look down at the Pikmin and like pick them with a stylus or something.
The possibilities.
You can probably poke them and shit and like fucking like flick them.
Yeah, exactly.
Blow on them with the microphone.
You can throw them onto the TV.
You can blow your Pikmin with the Wii U.
You heard it here first.
The Wii is going to be the perfect system over. For the adult only games.
Yeah.
E3 is not over, but do you think we'll see the final release date for Skyward Sword and more Wii games?
No.
No release dates from Nintendo, ever. I also find it funny how almost nothing shown at Nintendo's press conference got a release date.
They never do.
Oh, right. Oh, well. Did not know that you were at last year's E3. Why weren't you this year? It was just me there last year. I'm also with a group
like
called
Lone
Mentality. What?
Lost lonely Jew at E3. Oh, sorry,
makes
Adam.
Me sad. but I'm with a group called Nerd Mentality. It's a gaming review and article site. So we went last year. The reason why we didn't go this year is because the two bosses are having a baby. So
wait,
they
wait,
didn't.
They're husband and wife, or husband and husband.
Husband and wife.
Oh,
wife and wife. That's hot.
They're having a baby, and so that's why we didn't go.
So they had sex.
Yes.
Did you see it?
That's amazing.
No.
Oh. Then it happened.
Oh, wait, did it happen? Wait. Oh, it happened after E3. It was 9 months.
Anyways, keep up the great work. P.S. Who do you want to see in the new Super Smash Bros.? Oh my God, we didn't even mention.
Oh yeah,
that.
It, it got announced
name,
for 3DS.
Name some exclusives.
And then they said
name some
no,
exclusives
it's not
for each version. No. Okay, so it's announced for the 3DS and the Wii U, and they're going to have some interplay. Sakurai said that
they
haven't started
working
development
yet.
On it, but then there was another interview where he started talking about like ideas for it.
Well, he
stuff.
Said he's going after they finish Kid Icarus, he's immediately going to develop this game with no break in between, which is insane.
Poor guy.
Sakurai
gets so shafted.
Is amazing. Sakurai is just like a god amongst game makers.
Yeah. So it's exciting.
Sakurai's a god amongst Adam.
You know what I heard? I read a review saying that, I mean, an article saying that if Sakurai wasn't going to do Brawl, they were just going to release Melee with Wi-Fi functionality.
Oh, man.
So I kind of hate Sakurai a little bit.
Also, my last name is pronounced, and I don't know if this is Spanish or English, but I'm going to say Cuvetto.
No, it's K.
Cuvetto.
Q-U-E is K.
Nobody gives a shit.
In Spanish,
Nobody cares.
But if it were K, why not like
what's his first
like
name?
The letter
Bob?
K-A-Y. K-Venom. Whatever.
What's his first name again? Noah Hartnett? No.
No, this is Nicholas.
His first name is Noah Hartnett.
But, okay, so let's name like one or two characters you'd like to see in Smash
Sonic,
Bros.
Goku.
Goku. Yes, Goku.
Sonic Goku?
No, really, Inuyasha. No, Nathan Drake and Master Chief.
I remember Suda had said that if there were another
Mega Man.
Smash Brothers game, he'd like to get Travis Touchdown in there.
Cool.
Fuck Travis
cool.
Touchdown.
Mega Man.
Mega Man. Everybody wants Mega Man. Everybody wants Geno.
Mr. Caffeine.
Mr. Caffeine, please.
Oh, man. But let's go in order. Matt. Just name some people.
I don't give
some
a
real
shit.
People.
I don't care. What do they want?
Just say some names.
I don't know. They're not going to ask me. Han Solo.
Okay, fine. Alex.
Chewbacca.
Alex, do you have anybody you'd want in there?
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Okay. Mies. They're totally going to put Mies in there.
No, I just want Shigeru Miyamoto as a playable character.
If they do that, I'm done. I'm
Angel.
Not playing.
Angel, do
what?
You have
if
they, someone
no,
you
what
want?
What the fuck is wrong with
no,
you?
No, if they put Mies in the game...
Oh, they are going
game,
to,
so mad.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's too early to be thinking about shit like that.
Yeah. I know they already have every character ever, so I don't know. They even have
well,
Snake
yeah,
no, in
I mean,
there.
Sakurai, in that second interview, he was talking about how, you know, with this new technology, all the space on the disc, that instead of choosing, like, the examples he gave were like, okay, so before I had to choose, should I do 50 characters, double the stage, or there was one more thing, and then he said, well, now I don't have to choose, now I can do it all. So, I don't know if that actually means anything, but it certainly... tells us that he's thinking about doing a lot.
And that Master Chief is confirmed.
Right, exactly. PSS. Do we know if we can stream Wii games to the new controller since it has a sensor bar?
Good question.
That question doesn't really make sense.
No, what he means is that can you put Wii games just on the screen and turn off your TV? And will it work like... And
you probably could.
It probably could, but you'd have to stand a little bit away from the screen, and I think it would kind of defeat the purpose. So.
Yeah.
That's so dumb.
Probably not.
Interesting.
I'm going to stand 5 feet away from my
my
six-inch screen.
Yeah.
So those are all the...
Yeah. Sorry.
Those are all the emails we had. We had a few comments on Facebook, but with our millions of tweets... I can't find them,
yeah, we went crazy.
Email us.
So, yeah, I mean, if you guys didn't listen to our commentary on the conferences, for one, do that. And two, you know,
read
just
the
go
live
back,
tweets. I mean,
go
the,
back on our Facebook
or
go
Twitter.
On our
just read,
Twitter.
Go to Twitter, and it's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Let me pull this up. So, yeah. tinyurl.com/workingtitle or ztpsocialboard.proboards.com. That'll take you to our forum, and you can talk about stuff with us. Email us, wtpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, ZeldaWTPodcast. Become a fan on Facebook, Zelda Working Title Podcast, and rate us on iTunes. Give us a million stars. And then one thing, again, I said this last week. If you have like any leftover points, like Microsoft points, Sony points, Nintendo points, or like the little pamphlets with the pin numbers on them from Nintendo games, if you're not going to use those, we plan on doing a contest if we ever get any. So if you have any, give them to us, and we'll collect them, and then we'll do a contest, and whoever wins will get a bunch of points.
Points.
So there you go. I think we're done, and we may or may not do another one on Friday, depending on how much new information comes out.
Yes.
In, I guess, just tomorrow is the last day.
Wow.
So, yeah.
What a bad
Good night.
Evening.
Thanks.
Good night.
Thanks, guys.
Good night, guys.
Night.
Mr. Caffeine!